This is Jonah Hill, and you're listening to the only podcast that matters.
Bro gang, we are joined by the D-boy Pinoy, the king of cunnilingus, your dick on mosquito, he's smashing pussy that smell like Cool Ranch Dorito, the Bruiser Brigade boss man, the rhyme scheme circular but the teeth straight, the green screen governor, skinny jeans cost most rappers a rack, his skinny jeans cost him a record deal, the Don Dada of the dental work, the monologue maestro, the Muay Thai titan, he going Michelin star mode the way he eat out, the sultan of self-care, the genre-bending general, the Newport number one, the Austin admiral, from the plastic-covered couch to your mom's house, rapper, podcaster, Danny Brown. Danny, how are you?
Oh my God, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I was stuck at D-Boy Pinoy.
Oh, right up
shit,
top.
That's
not
crazy.
Many people know that you got that Asian blood coursing through your veins, right?
I'm trying to let it fly. I try to let them know. This is a big part of who I am, you know. I was just talking about that earlier. Growing up in Detroit, or just in general, I had young parents, so. And I was the first child, so I think that's where I became like
a psycho.
Yeah, I'm like, why y'all just didn't stop at me?
How many siblings you have?
Two brothers, two sisters.
Oh, nice. Are any of them rappers as well, or podcasters?
Nah, but so I would live with my Filipino grandma just so I can be the only child.
Is it true that you first got interested in clothing because all the fucking dope boys and drug dealers would get their like furs done at her dry cleaning?
Yeah,
spot?
No, that's how I came up on a lot of clothes.
Oh, like you would, boosted?
No, what happened was when I was in which changed my life, probably fucked my life up. Actually, what happened, I was working at the cleaners. She would let me work there in the summers and shit, like just doing, helping around and stuff. And one time this drug dealer, man, he just left a shit ton of clothes at the cleaners, like Tommy Hilfiger, Nautica, Guess, furs, leathers, just his whole like wardrobe. And I guess he went to jail or got killed. You know, when you leave your clothes in the cleaner after so many days. And
it's like a 60-day policy or whatever. Finders keepers.
So I was able to take.
So you got fresh as fuck then.
In the summertime. So when school started, I couldn't wait. So all I had to do was just buy shoes. And I just bought a shit ton of shoes. And then.
Was he like the exact same size as you? Just like worked out?
Like probably a little bit bigger.
Okay.
It was the era a bit closed in. So it didn't really even matter.
Damn, the ultimate come up, bro. If only Tony Yayo brought you to 50 then.
Man. So it was crazy because he had I had five Nautica coats.
Wait, furs too? Like legit?
It was a couple furs. It was a couple leathers, like Pelly leathers, but the actual like winter coats, like big ass Nautica coats and polo coats.
Wait, so you were in high school rocking like a mink from a drug dealer who was either locked up or murdered?
Yeah, I did.
Frank One White day, type shit.
Yeah, dude. One day I showed up to school wearing a mink coat and some gator boots. And yeah, it was a big deal.
How did that fuck your life up, though? You just were like, yo, I need this.
Because
this
I became like one of the most popular kids in the school.
Oh.
I really went from ashy to classy.
Real quick. The curse of success.
My ninth grade year, I was like the fucking weirdo nerd that fucking wore fatigue pants and Timberlands every day and listened to Wu-Tang. And I was that guy.
And then you Shaolin shit.
Again, I came back like straight up, swagged up, next level. So yeah, teenage pregnancy was on the way.
Well, yeah, it's the pick up the fur at the dry cleaners to teenage pregnancy pipeline.
And then that's what it turned to. Next thing you know, that was my high school life. You know, everybody had that one couple in school walking around together. She pregnant as hell. And all the teachers like, look at them. Their whole life is ruined. That was me. I was that guy.
Did they know that you were only just getting started. You want to dress like a grown man, you got to act like a grown man.
Exactly.
Which is a perfect segue. Danny, the first thing we want to do is a little fit check. We're going to walk the audience at home through everything that you wore today. The choice for you is, do you want to start top down or you want to go bottom up?
I go bottom up.
Thank God. Yeah. There he is, dude. All right, what kicks do we have?
I wore some the Supreme Jordans.
The fives.
Yeah.
Those are looking good. I feel like you don't see them that much in New York. Like they were hot when they dropped, but now it's like more of a low-key flex.
Yeah, I had them and I just never really wore them. Now I'm just starting to just wear all the stuff.
You a big Jordan guy?
I just think coming up in the Midwest, you have to be.
Right.
Staple. Yeah, it's like a staple, you know?
Yeah.
And
what are the socks?
These Adidas socks. I didn't have any socks. I took these from my girl.
They're holding on for dear life.
Oh yes, these are. Yeah, I didn't have any socks, so I'm like, bitch, you ain't got no socks in your bag. She gave me these '90s Carhartt double knees.
Very nice. Someone painted in those for you. Clearly,
I know. You know this is how we rocking out.
Blue collar stolen valor. That's what
this
we say
is how we rocking out.
Are you a big? Are you a big vintage guy?
Yes, that's all I am.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, except for the Jordans.
I mean, now those are kind of vintage.
Yeah, low key. They're on ice long enough, you know?
Those are kind of vintage, yeah.
But being from Detroit, is Carhartt like...
It's got to be, right?
That's God.
Yeah. It's Eminem and Carhartt.
Jay Dilla and Carhartt.
Jay Dilla and Carhartt. Okay, all right.
And General Motors.
Gotta know your audience.
Yeah, Jay Dilla and Carhartt.
Moving on up.
The T.
Norse Projects.
Ooh.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, yes. That is absolutely Shout out Norse, dude.
Carhartt Stray Rat collab.
With the matching jacket?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Look at that, dude. That was intentional, or was it just like, oh, shit?
I actually just got that when I got here. Dart gave it to me, so shouts out to Dart. Came through.
Shout out to Dart Parker.
And then what about the wrist wear, dude?
Yachtmaster Rolex.
Very nice. Are you a big watch guy?
Huge watch guy.
How many watches are in your collection?
I mean, I give them away.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
How do you get one from Danny Brown? How do you get a Rolly from Danny?
When I lose it and you find it.
You're out here losing Rolexes?
That would happen all the time. Like when I would go on tour, we called it the Where's My Rolex Tour.
Dude, where's my Rolex?
I would wake up, that would be the first thing in the morning. I'd be like, where's my Rolex? Anybody see my watch? Anybody see my watch? And then somebody will find it. And after the end of the tour.
It's in a stripper in Amsterdam.
Yeah, it's in a stripper's ass, dude.
Whoever found the Rolex the most, I'd be like, you know what? You can just
have it. Is that because like when you were like about to get busy, you're like, yo, let me take off the fucking
I think I'm just where I always get the most uncomfortable watch.
Oh. Okay.
So when I next thing I know, when I'm drunk and you just take it off and just leave it anywhere, because you just, you know, you're like, ugh. Like even this watch is so fucking heavy, man.
Yeah, it's a beast, dude. Watch. Span tips and rollies.
It's your onus. What about the little dog tag?
Chrome Heart.
Okay.
Ooh.
Low
nice
key.
And subtle.
Yeah. Not blinged out, just like a dog tag.
Easy. Yeah,
do you have a lot of chrome?
I did. I keep giving it away.
What I'm hearing is it pays to be in your fucking orbit.
I lose it or I give it away. I lose it.
Well, you're sipping on some 1942, so maybe I'll end up with a Rolex by the end of this podcast, you know?
Maybe. I swear to God, chrome. You might get lucky.
What about the panties, Danny?
Yeah, we ask everyone. What underwear?
The underwear.
Oh, my drawers?
Yeah, your drawers.
I don't wear no drawers.
Really?
Word?
Even with the heavy Carhartts?
Super free ball.
On the fucking duck canvas?
Yeah.
All right.
Does your dick have a callus on it? Like,
no, it gives it personality. It's been through a lot in life.
Wait, so straight up, even in like a New York summer, you're here performing, no draws.
I got a bidet.
Ooh. Tell me more.
That booty hole pristine. So okay. I can do it.
Is it like a Toto?
Yeah.
It's the Rolex of bidets.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, it's the best. Shit. I have one too.
With the warm.
Yeah, it can give you restaurant recommendations. it can.
Bidets are life changing, man.
That's what I've been saying to Lawrence. He needs to get one.
I bought one, but it was too confusing to install, so I returned it.
Well,
I
just they don't let you return it because they don't.
Gently used bidet.
It, but like, yeah, we
sold that shit on Grilled.
Yeah,
I've been sitting on that motherfucker astral projecting. Close my eyes, like
just manifesting.
Duh. Sometimes when you cut it on a little too strong, that water coming with that pressure is a little different, man.
Feeling it in your throat.
That should be biting. It's like, damn.
So to just recap here, Danny Brown does not wear underwear ever.
I'm talking shit. I wear Saks.
Okay.
Saks branded underwear?
They call it Saks.
Okay.
No, it's actually my favorite underwear brand because they come like with a, you can put your balls.
Oh, this is not Saks Fifth Avenue. This is a brand called like Saks.
Oh, it's got like a pouch for your balls.
It got a pouch for your balls and you sit your balls in the pouch. So I love them. That's my favorite underwear brand. It say get off my Saks.
Yeah. It's like a diner. It's like a diner booth.
Yeah. You need an endorsement deal.
Everybody
dude.
Need a ball pouch.
Yeah. Dark, can we get this man a fucking Saks deal?
Yeah, what? You ever set on your balls?
Oh, he's got them too.
See?
Look, hey, look! You can't make this up! Wait, so these are the best boxer briefs in the game? Wait, briefs or briefs?
They boxer briefs.
Okay.
But me, personally, now, since I'm grown up, I just like straight up the nuns.
Yeah. And your nuts, they descend over time, so if anything, like...
The midgets get to hanging.
Yeah.
You got low-hanging fruit,
that's
now.
A gravity, dude.
That's clack is clack.
Yeah. Well, if you ever set on your balls before by mistake...
I mean, it's rough.
You realize why you need Saks.
See,
that's their tagline. you ever sat on your balls? Yeah. Buy Saks.
Buy Saks. You got a nice little cup for them. Sit them in there. They're pretty expensive too for a underwear brand to be honest. Yeah.
I mean, they have a dick chamber.
There's a proprietary Saks technology.
You're right. But that's crazy. This nigga wearing Saks too.
It's like the little chart where Saddam Hussein was hiding. That's like your balls in the Saks. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
You take good care of your underwear region. The bidet, the Saks.
Yeah.
I'm old.
This comes from experience.
Right? That's all I got right now.
You're
just left with
your balls and your asshole.
Reputation.
Yeah. Nuts and bolts. That's all I got now. This is the end. You know when you get to the end.
And you're sipping on some Don Julio 1940.
I know. Drinking is bad for me.
Simple. Keep it simple and nice. Drink is bad for you.
Yeah, because I drink a lot.
How much?
I mean,
every day of the week?
No, fuck no. When I'm at home, I try my best not to drink, but for the most part, like when I'm out in the free world.
Well, this is like a work trip.
So when my girl let me outside, yeah, I'm boozing every day.
In her socks, no less.
In her socks.
Boozing in his girl's socks, man. What a fucking.
I mean, this is like legend. You're here for Rolling Loud, right?
Yeah.
So is this like a work trip? Is this kind of like, do you treat it like vacation?
Yeah, exactly. That's so
what
happens.
You're boozing extra hard while you're here?
Mm-hmm.
That's what usually happens. You've gotten after it while you're in New York?
Oh, what are you talking about? I just woke up from a booze nap.
It is 5:50.
Yeah, to be clear.
Which is fine.
It's dinner time.
I was boozing at like 11:30 a.m.
This morning?
Yes.
Oh, on the other podcast. Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is you have no self-control.
That's what it is. Okay. Yeah, that's what it is.
We're working on it. Again, you're a work in progress.
Yeah.
At 41,
your car hard working.
It might be the progress. It might be just that progress.
We've progressed.
Yeah,
we progressed
up to this point.
Yeah, which could go in the wrong direction for sure.
Well, that is a.
But it does keep me out of trouble in some sense.
The booze does?
Because you fall asleep at noon?
Oh, I actually went to the cellar last night. They wouldn't let me in.
The Comedy Cellar.
Yeah,
they wouldn't. Why not?
I was too drunk.
The only man that's ever get denied to go into the Comedy Cellar.
I went with Ari Shaffir. I'm like, damn, I'm with you.
Were you going to do some stand-up?
No, I mean, I've never been to the Cellar. And we were actually just talking about it. Like, oh, I need to go to the Cellar. Check it out. I've never been.
Damn.
And then Ari was like, I'm going to go do a set real quick. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm going with you.
Did you try to flex on the doorman? Like, do you know who I am?
I mean, and that never ends well for you. You know, it almost might be worse.
So stars, they are just like us. Because it wouldn't work for just normal fucking bozos. Mm-hmm. But you would think Danny Brown.
No,
you know.
That happened to me a lot.
Getting denied at the door?
Yeah.
Because you're just too drunk all the time?
Yes. That has happened to me in New York. It's always New York.
Damn.
But I get it, though. You know, you don't want a drunk guy in a comedy club where you're supposed to be quiet and, you know,
oh, right.
You got to be nice. You're like, oh, this nigga's coming in here to
you got heckler
trouble.
Just written all over you.
You're in the comedy world now. Like,
I know. I was coming to see etiquette. Ari. Yeah, I was coming to see Ari. I wasn't coming to do shit. Matter of fact, he's about to sober me up.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say you have more stand-up friends or rapper friends at this point?
Stand-up
friends,
oh, for sure. Yeah, I don't got no rap friends.
Who's more fun to hang out with?
As far as stand-up world?
No, stand-up friends or rapper friends?
Probably stand-up friends.
Aren't most of those guys sober, though, ironically?
Oh, stand-up guys?
Yeah.
Or really fucked up.
But yeah, or really
fucked
up.
It's one or the other, right?
Yeah, it's one or the other. Yeah, it's one or the other.
But I feel like with rappers... sober Bert Kreischer, dude.
I feel like rappers is more like a boring thing.
Oh, really?
To hang out like, because, you know, rappers, we can't really... Like, we could
but you
go.
Have a lot of personality.
But I mean, this is what I'm saying. Like, most of my rap friends is like, it'd be a big deal if you just see us hanging out. In public or walking around doing just normal shit.
If it's not like
I feel like
related.
Comedians in their head, they just that's normal to them. Like I would do that. People. I don't have a problem with just walking around. I don't care about getting stopped or anything like that. But I feel like most rappers, they're like scared to like.
Or it's like they're too cool for school.
Yeah, too cool for school kind of shit. Where, you know, with comedians, we hanging out.
They're
doing whatever
people.
We want.
I get it.
We doing shit.
A difference in occupation, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Speaking of rappers, Danny, let's get into the meat and potatoes of the podcast now that it's a complete
the
fit
nuts
check,
and bolts.
Complete drink check. The nuts and bolts. You are working on a new album of music.
Yeah.
What can we expect, just generally speaking?
I wouldn't say I'm working on it. The motherfucker been doing it for like 3 years.
Oh, where's that?
On the shelf?
Talk to the record label. And
oh, yeah?
But yeah, no, I it's a very in my story arc of creating albums, almost like how I look at it, like movies or some shit or albums or whatever. This is like my most sad, just my drama. This
oh, no. Oh, word?
Yeah. I don't think it's too much comedy in this one.
So it's not like booty shaking.
I can't listen to it. Last time I listened to it, I took mushrooms and cried.
Really?
Like a bitch.
So you're like switching up the sound. You're continuing the Danny Brown method of just like trying new kind of genre bending, trying new
the
sounds
evolution.
With this one?
Yeah. I would say it's still, because even like I always be like, man, just sounds kind of normal to me or like that. And when you listen to the average rap, anybody, this ain't normal. What are you talking about?
Yeah, ain't nothing normal about you, bro.
Yeah, this ain't normal rap music. But this is like I don't know what you're talking about.
Is the dark side of Danny Brown that we're going to get?
No, it's sad. I would say it's more sad. It's gaslighting.
You're gaslighting yourself?
I'm gaslighting my fan base.
Are you gonna be able to like perform it?
So are y'all fault? No.
You're gonna be like crying on stage, dude.
Fuck no, this album ain't gonna be performed.
It's like we're going from grown up, okay, everyone's hyped, and now we're gonna crack.
But I feel like I've been on this trajectory. If people could.
Well, you podcast, were due for a depressing ass album?
Yeah, I think it was due. Yeah, I think
it was
coming.
With the podcast, The Danny Brown Show, you're like incredibly open. It's like, you're like, it's therapeutic almost.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Exactly what it is.
Speaking to like, talk about like your personal evolution and struggles and shit. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of emblematic of what we're going to hear on the new album?
No, because that was just a moment in time.
Okay.
It pretty much, I mean, I made it during COVID, during quarantine and all that shit. I mean, we were all, I was literally supposed to do a European tour when we got shut down.
Canceled.
I had so many festivals that summer, you know, so it went from, I had a lot coming in to now nothing's coming in and everything's going out.
Did that fuck you up?
And yes, of course it did. And then I went through a huge breakup.
Damn.
You know.
So you're under emo shit.
Sold my
no
house.
No bread, no bitches, hence the depressing ass album.
Sold my house, moved to a condo downtown, tried to be a hoe.
How'd I'm that like, go?
Yeah.
Like, how was your hope
about that?
How was your hope? It was going good till quarantine happened. It was going great. I was like having to, you know, I had like a second life. I was living my, you know,
Fauci
like,
cost,
second act.
Fauci cost,
got his groove back.
Fauci yeah, cost his man so like much
that.
Pussy.
It was literally like that. I had the E.L. Frazier apartment downtown telling bitches pull up.
Frazier was a podcaster.
Yeah. He's the OG. He's the original, bro.
You're right. I never thought about that. But yeah, I was on my Frazier shit, and then it was locked down. Because I was living in a hotel. Not to say, you know how you have residences at the top of a hotel? Yeah. So that was so cool, because all the amenities was at the bottom. Sure. I couldn't get, like, delivered. Like, you know, it was cool to live there.
I came in his castle.
But once everything got shut down, it was no reason to be there. You couldn't even have guests.
Right.
Because it was, you know, so I would have to sneak bitches up. Do shit like that.
Like a dormitory or something.
It was,
like
bro, it's like in prison.
Or something.
It was like being in prison.
Yeah, the conjugal visits, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, dude.
It was scary. But the cool thing, my studio wasn't too far from it.
Okay.
So I would just be going to my studio every day and hanging out there. But yeah, so I have no choice but to start making music. And so I made
you
the
had
album.
To make this album.
Yeah, so I made the album, and you know, I gave it to them, and they're like, "Oh shit!"
Well, it sounds like a fucking bummer. I cannot wait to listen, dude.
It's still fun. It's still Danny Brown. At the end of the day,
but it's Danny Brown in his no hoes era, which is a very sad
thing. Counterintuitive.
I wouldn't
dude.
Say it was a no hoes era, because I was like doing an 8-ball of coke a day, and fucking drinking a fifth of liquor every day, and it was like 4 bitches all the time.
Okay. But that was light
which
work.
Which for you is depressing.
That's light work.
I'm crying. Yeah.
For the average person, that would be the best thing that ever happened.
I'm crying in the club. This is my reach out. This is my call out for help, to be honest.
You're crying in the club like you sat on your nuts.
Yes. But thankful I met the girl that I'm with now.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was the whole thing. Because that's what I would be going to Austin all the time.
Mm.
And every time I go up there, I'll be like, man, she would like really take care of me and shit. You know,
so you moved to Austin to be with your girl?
Yes. That and the podcast. Right. I mean, it was almost like I used to talk to Tom all the time during the pandemic and COVID shit. But he was always just telling me, like, man, you need to get on stage. You need to write, figure out. And I'm like, man. And he's like, man, you should do a podcast. I'm like, man, I'm not doing a podcast. I'll do a podcast if you do it.
Right.
I'd
like
do
as
one
a
with
guest
you.
Or whatever.
Like, if he produce it.
Oh, I see.
You know, because it's hard work doing this
is
stuff.
Yes, it is.
So much hard work, man.
Not for you.
Yeah.
It's hard work. So, and then one day I was just talking to him on FaceTime. He's like, I'm moving to Austin. I was like, what? Like, I go to Austin all the time. Like, I'm moving to Austin too then.
Hell yeah.
It was just like that. And literally.
Beautiful, dude.
I moved there and, you know.
Everything
she
changed.
She took care of me for a whole year.
Beautiful.
And then, because it didn't like I moved there and we started a podcast instantly. I moved there first.
Right,
everything. He was still building the studio and doing everything. And, you know, just you know, immersing myself in the community out there. Meeting all the comedians, everybody, hanging out with everybody.
Now
like I was kind
of
friends with everybody
scene.
Anyway.
Yeah. You're like totally. Are you like now like a local celeb? Like you get that love in Austin, just like chilling?
I get so much love in Austin. It's I
the
mean,
weirdos,
I guess,
the weird recognize weird, right?
I guess, yeah. I guess, because I even like in Detroit, that's one thing I do love about it is that it has a like, they don't give a fuck type of mentality. Like if I go to a bar or something, they'd be like, everybody in the bar, the entire bar can know who I am, but no one will acknowledge.
No
it.
One's fanning out. Or
no one's like, Danny, so what? Fuck it. But in Austin, it's like, oh my God, free drinks all night.
What you prefer?
They fucking put my music on. I'm like, I don't feel like listening to my music in some random
so is
restaurant
that, like,
right
do you like
now.
That or is that weird?
It's super weird, but it's love. And
yeah.
It makes you feel appreciated, kind
of. Better the music than putting on your podcast in the middle of the restaurant, right?
That would suck.
It's like, all right,
that
I'm just going to monologue about mushrooms. Or not that, I mean.
Suck. Yeah, that would suck. But they do. They do that a lot. And I guess it's love, man. Yeah. It makes me feel.
It's love.
Just make you
it's
feel
love Texas style.
Yeah, it make you feel love.
Everything's
Danny, I want to go back to earlier in your career. So you were in the XXL freshman class of 2012. Freshman as a 31-year-old man. That year's lineup is pretty fucking stacked. So we just want to very quickly just play a quick game where we're going to say the other classmates and just tell us the first thing that pops in your head. Lawrence, want to go first?
Yeah. Future.
Future. A lot of lean.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
French Montana.
Fake furs.
He was wearing the bear.
Yeah.
On the cover.
That fucking bear head. He looks ridiculous.
Chris Machado is actually cool. Like, I've hung around him like more, a lot of times, and I'm always like cracking jokes. Like, part two, the Coke boy should have been beat me up.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like one of those guys that's pushing buttons a little too far. So shouts out to French. They have restraint.
Yeah, the finute that
yeah.
God.
Yeah. Friend of the show, ironically enough, one of your classmates, Macklemore.
Macklemore is great. FC Sounders.
Yeah.
The whitest sentence that's ever come out of your mouth. Speaking of which, Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh, man. He's disgusting.
Cleveland boy.
He's just nasty.
Emo. Talk about stolen valor. That's emo stolen valor.
I ain't going to lie, though. One time I did a situation with him.
What do you mean?
Like a show. We played a show together, but we stayed at like the same hotel, and this nigga literally had like just lines of bitches at his hotel room. Just they were just lined up.
Me like he's a filthy, nasty boy.
Yeah, spitting booty hole type niggas.
Did you get any? You get any pussy runoff from him?
Fuck no. But I was like, this is bizarre. I didn't know. Like, I've heard stories of guys that could do shit like this, but I didn't know this was like
oh,
this.
Oh, damn, dude.
They were just literally just lined up at this door, and he was just opening it up. Like,
he's just like running through them like a
couple bitches go out, a couple bitches come in, a couple bitches go out.
Is this when he was rapping or when he became like a...
No, this is before. This is the rap shit.
Okay. All right.
Iggy Azalea.
One time, Iggy Azalea, I had to play a show with her, and we supposed to share a dressing room, but she wouldn't let me share the dressing room, so she's selfish.
Wait, what venue was it?
Was a segregated dressing room?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were playing a show together in Miami. It was actually during Art Basel, and but I guess she got to the dressing room before me, and she had her security and everybody else. Yeah, and they like wouldn't
shotgun.
Let me. Like, bitch, we supposed to share the dressing room. They like, no, fuck that.
So she's selfish.
Yeah, she's selfish.
Okay. All right, Roscoe Dash.
He an Uber driver now.
Really? Oh,
stop. Damn. I can't make this up.
Where?
In Atlanta. Damn.
Him and Young Jock, bro. Mm-hmm.
But you know what? There's honor in that. There's honor in work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. That's good, honest work. People need that service.
Have you ever had him as an Uber driver? What do you think his rating is?
Yo, if Roscoe Dash is my Uber driver, I don't care how bad the ride, he's getting 5 stars, dude.
Yeah.
Do you think he's like low-key putting his music
on? It kind of sounds like an Uber service anyway.
Roscoe DoorDash.
Yeah. It's almost like this is he graduated to this. This is what he really was supposed to be. Yeah. Like, the rap was just...
This was your God-given talent.
Yes, his God-given talent was an Uber driver, man. Yeah. So, man, of course he's 5 stars.
My man is dashing.
Yes.
Roscoe Dash.
That's crazy. I haven't heard that name in a minute.
What did he have? No hands? That was a banger,
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. I think you know what it was? That era of that style of music, they were just way ahead of their time.
True.
And I feel a lot of those artists, like if it would have been like 3 years later, like with that type of sound, this shit would have been crazy. That would have been the radio. That would have been everything.
He wouldn't have been an Uber driver today.
I think he wants to be an Uber driver.
Right. We should.
With that name.
That was his life. This is what he was built to be.
He had the drive in him.
This is what he was built to do, man.
Don Tripp.
He's an amazing lyricist.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's his shit? Step Brothers, right?
Mm-hmm. With him and Starlito.
Yeah, shit is fucking gas. Yes. Well, I guess I haven't done one in a minute, right?
Yeah. But yeah, I think, that's another one of those stories of just being, I think I've had of your time.
Yeah.
And then knowing that you're so good at rap. And people, you probably just feel underappreciated. Mm. And then it kind of like fucks with your confidence a little bit with it.
Are you speaking from experience a little bit there? Or?
Yeah, I guess so. But I feel like Don Tripp is like one of those artists too, because he's supposed to, you know, he's crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
wasn't meant to be an Uber driver.
Yeah.
He was meant to
be a rapper.
Although Don Tripp, you know?
Yeah, Uber trip. Here we go, Don. He's the Don of trips, dude.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah, I seen this. He still make music and stuff.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
I seen him not too long ago.
All right, Danny, what about Hopson?
Oh shit!
He was in your cipher.
He
says the F word.
Yeah,
famously.
For real?
Yeah, yeah, dude. We
with
watched
his,
it
with his contact lenses.
Yeah, he was a fucking bozo, dude. Come on, man. Yeah, that was like school shooter rap. His shit was school shooter rap, right? That's like nobody understands me. I'm gonna fucking kill you at school tomorrow.
And then it's almost like chip on his shoulder kind of shit. Like that's one thing I do hate about rappers. When they got to like,
I'm dope. You can't tell I'm dope. I'm nice, nigga. Listen to this shit. I'm fire. Why y'all not respecting me? Y'all like him? Y'all like this shit over me? Look how dope my shit is.
So that's that kind of rap. Yeah. It's like, come on, man.
And finally, Kid Ink.
Kid Ink was a very nice guy.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Okay. We shared a tour manager. So.
Oh, nice.
Oh, shit. Okay.
He was always cool. Anytime we hung together or whatever.
He now works at Dunkin' Donuts. No, he doesn't.
Where's
he
tattoo shop?
No, he doesn't, man.
Kid Ink is actually pretty cool.
Nice. Well, it's good to, it's good that, I mean, that's a stacked, that's a stacked fucking class of 2012 right there. And I'm sure they all have amazing things to say about you.
Or do they?
No. Fuck, come on. Of course they do. You don't think French Montana is going to say nice things about you?
I mean, he's just like, he a funny nigga.
Yeah.
That's what everybody says.
He's silly.
He's a pretty funny guy.
You know what he says about Roscoe Dash? He Finute the Coop.
Yeah. Literally.
Uber joke.
Probably my guy. Here you guys go, man.
Danny, I got to ask this, man. Was your line, stank pussy smelling like Cool Ranch Doritos on the song Monopoly, inspired by a singular vagina, or is it just an incredible hilarious
No,
bar?
I've never smelled a vagina that actually smelled like Cool Ranch Doritos. I think okay. It was just something funny I came up with.
Do you ever smell any pussy that smells like a penguin?
No. No.
So this is just like poetry that stems from the brain.
Out. Yeah, it's just Adderall. Coming Adderall, up with Adderall. Shit. But I get the penguin one. The penguin one because
it's aquatic.
The Detroit Zoo.
Oh, stay.
They had a exhibit called Penguinaria.
They called it Penguinaria.
And we would go there on school trips, and it was just like a big ass thing full of penguins.
How'd it smell?
Oh my God.
The guy
God.
Who named that needed some Adderall. That's the
oh,
laziest thing
my God,
I've ever heard
it's
in my
the
life.
The nastiest smelling thing you can possibly think of. So I think that's where that line comes from. Because penguins eat fish.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's, it's just.
That makes more
sense. And they just like shit everywhere.
Just fish and nasty penguins, man. Part two. People always tell me I'm built like a penguin.
What?
You're pretty tall, though.
Yeah, but.
An emperor penguin.
But when I'm naked, it's like I'm all belly. It's like I'm all.
you come waddling in.
Yeah, it's like I'm all middle. Girl. You're built like a penguin.
You're all torso.
Yeah.
All right, here's a question for you, Danny.
I only look tall in clothes.
If you had to have the pussy smell like any types of chips or snack, like if you could choose, what would you go with?
Pickled onion monster munch.
Oh. Very very quick answer.
That sounds terrible, but I guess it's your favorite snack.
Can you describe that smell?
Monster Munch is a very that's a UK snack, right?
Okay.
You go over there, they got Monster Munches. The chip is like a paw.
Shaped like a paw?
Yeah, like a paw.
Is it like a crisp or is it like a puffy 3D Dorito type
thing? It's a puffy situation.
But it smells puffy situation. Delicious.
But they got pickled onion, which it sounds retarded. Like you'll be like, pickled onion?
Why but it's delicious.
Oh, it's amazing. So every time I touch down in the UK, that's the first thing I do. Go get some pickled onion monster munches. I was actually getting cases of this shit off Amazon and shit.
Are you force feeding a girl like bags of pickle munch, whatever the fuck?
I feel like I can. It's a great air freshener too, because I could just like have
really?
Random open bags in my hotel room, and I can like smoke weed and like do shit, and won't nobody notice. Like the pickled onion is boofing. So like I'd be good. Like you could just open a bag of pickled onion. Housekeeping don't know.
Oh, true. Yeah. It's a good mask.
Don't
you
microwave popcorn to mask the weed smell in hotels?
Yeah, but most nice hotels don't have microwaves.
I was gonna say that's.
So it's really just, it's the pickled onion.
That's a Motel 6 shit. You know what I'm saying? With microwaves in the room. So yeah.
Early on in your career, what was the first moment you can remember where you kind of were like, you know, it was like a pinch me moment where you could not believe how far you had made it. And you knew that like rap was, you were a rapper.
You had arrived. Thank you, Dart.
That's a good question.
Did you like look out on a stage and like thousands of people?
No, I was getting acknowledged by people that I looked up to.
Okay. Such as like
stuff like that. Like I think I've met all my heroes kind of.
What was the best, what was the first big cosign that really meant a lot to you?
Tony Yayo.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I lived with Tony Yayo for like a half a year, like 6 months.
In the studio or like
in his actual house.
Damn.
I used to
What was the situation? What was the living situation at Yayo's crib?
It was great. It was actually nice,
like a
man.
He's a full guest room.
I mean, you know, everybody got the man cave type of situation. Sure. He had the man cave and he had his studio. So I would just like sleep on the couch in the man cave. But I got to the point. He did give me, I had my own bedroom for a minute. Nice. I did have my own little room there.
What's your relationship like these days with Yayo?
I haven't seen him since then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who are the other heroes that you got cosigns from? Eventually?
Oh, I mean, like E-40.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Meeting him was a big deal.
Yeah.
Meeting him. Like my favorite rappers was like Nas. Then I met Nas, had a great conversation with him. Dizzy Rascal.
Oh, was
always a big. Oh, and
Fix Up Look Sharp, baby.
I would say a big one was LP, too.
Oh, okay.
Just becoming friends with LP, because Def Jux was a big part of my life.
Yeah,
and a part of my rap career. Like,
who's someone you met that like disappointed you? Like the whole never meet your heroes, if you could be so bold as to maybe fill us in. But someone that like.
I think I'm that guy.
Really? No way, dude.
I don't think I ever met someone that I felt, too short.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was just like fanning out. We were in like Hawaii and I seen him, and then he was at this party and everything, and I just kept trying to talk to him, like, yo, sure, I'm Danny, because I grew up off that shit, you know what I'm saying? But he's like, man, I'm fucking with these hoes right now.
I mean, he was very, it was a very too short thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. But he's trying to talk to Blowjob Betty.
But I was very sad about it. I'm like, man, he could have hung out with me. Fuck these bitches.
I had a very similar experience the one time I tried to meet Dave Chappelle. He was like, yo, can you not see, like, I'm a little busy right now, bro. I get it.
Yeah,
that.
I met Dave, too. I had my whole thing with him, too.
How'd that go?
I got him too fucked up.
Too fucked, Dave?
Yeah, this is what happened.
People can't hang with you.
But this at the time I used to smoke backwoods, but I would put a worm of wax in it.
Bro, you have a problem.
Like, I would twist, like, make these long, like, strands of wax, and I would, like, lace my backwoods. So whatever, I went to Dave Chappelle's show, and we were talking like crazy, and out of nowhere, it was Big Sean's dad. He was backstage.
Big Sean.
Yeah, Big Sean. He was like
Big Sean Senior.
And he was talking to Dave, and he was saying shit like, you know, we was at Wiz Khalifa crib the other night. We was smoking big blunts. We was doing it. And I was like, oh, Dave, you know I got some dope on me right now if you want to smoke. And Dave like, oh yeah, you know I want to smoke. You know I want to smoke. So then I lit up the worm backwood. Now we smoking it. And then he was like, oh, he whipped out some whiskey, like, oh, we gonna have a drink. Nah. And I knew it was going bad because, like, maybe like halfway through it, he just looked at me in my eyes, like, man, I'm smoking and I'm drinking before the show. This is the most unprofessional shit ever.
How did set go?
And this is the set that he bombed. Like, the craziest bomb set.
It's your fault.
Yes, it was, I mean, I don't know if it was my fault.
It was your fault.
It was crazy. He actually talked about this on Big Sean's last album. He had like, fucking interlude where he tells the actual story.
Did you get, like, name dropped and shit?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, the last time he came to Detroit, he put Danny Brown Presents Dave Chappelle. Because it was fucked up. I remember the most craziest part of the show. Because he said a bit twice. Yeah, said a joke at, like, the beginning, and then, like, maybe 30 minutes later, he said the same joke again, like he never said it. And I was like, oh,
damn,
this is
dude.
Bad.
The worm is faded.
The worm was hitting.
And then somebody stood up, was like, nigga, I took work off of this. And I was like, oh, shit. Let me get out of there. So I snuck out of there, and I got up out of there. And then he was calling my phone after, like, where's Danny Brown at? I was like, man, that was,
I got a bone to pick.
Was he
Danny
mad?
Brown,
I think they are mad at me. Yeah, I think they are mad at me.
Jesus Christ, dude.
You wasted this guy's fucking vacation day.
Nah, right? I'm so
mad. Called out sick,
man, bro.
This guy called out sick and you
fucked
his night up.
That was Roscoe Dash. He took a day off of Uber, bro. You fucked his day up.
I feel bad. I feel bad about it because now every time, like, I hang around with certain comedians or somebody that know about the story, and I, like, I'm smoking, like, you want to hit? Oh, no. Everybody act like I'm fucking trying to lace them with some shit.
Right. You have a bad reputation.
Yeah, I have a bad reputation.
You can't smoke that Danny Brown Kush.
Exactly.
You never know where you're going to end up. What about, like, besides being your heroes, like, what about the first time you got a big paycheck from the label or anything? What was the first Attaboy gift you got yourself for the first big purchase?
First big purchase? I don't know. I guess
pay off your debts.
A watch that you lost eventually.
I mean, that's always, you know, I would say my teeth probably.
Oh yeah.
That was $30,000
on the teeth, dude. That's like that's chain.
I mean,
money.
I had very fucked up teeth.
When did you get the dental work?
I can't remember. Maybe, I mean, some years ago, but...
Well, yeah. Relatively recently.
No, it was a long time. It's been a minute since I had this shit.
Was any part of you like, my fucked up teeth are, like, low-key my brand?
I never wanted it to be that. I mean, that's not my thing, but I get it, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And I used to hate it, like, when my teeth was real fucked up, because, you know, it makes you fucking self-conscious about
sure.
shit and super... Like, it's nothing worse than having fucked up teeth or, like, seeing a bitch that you know feeling you. And then as soon as you say one word, she's like, oh, shit. You see her whole face change. Like,
your teeth are throwing up gang signs.
What happened? Like, she looking at you talking to her, and as soon as you talk, she's like,
so it makes you an apple through a chain link fence.
Yeah, it makes you fucking self-conscious about shit. You
but
know?
Did the label or, like, people around you try to make the teeth, like, part of your personality or image?
What happened, I mean...
And the hair
too,
and everything?
I guess it was. I mean, it was something I did. I mean, I did it to myself. It wasn't like no one was telling me to do that kind of shit, you know? But when I started wearing a grill...
Mm.
And I got my fucking diamond grill and shit and started wearing that. That fucked my teeth up more.
Oh, damn.
And I started getting, like, gum disease problems and all types of crazy shit. Like, it was bad. It was really bad.
Bro.
Because what they say is, you know, like I say, now my teeth fucked up. I finally got a grill. I finally look cool and some shit. So I would wear it all the time. I wear it a lot. And what happens is, you know, saliva is pretty much acid.
Mm.
And when it builds up inside the grill and you're just sitting on your teeth, it's pretty much just sitting in acid.
Fuck.
You know what I'm saying? So imagine just like you see me on a plane sleep with my mouth open with a grill. You get what I'm saying? But I'm really fucking destroying my teeth doing shit like
when
that.
When you got your shit reworked, did you get a new grill?
No. I can't get them anything. I'm going to turn them to a wedding ring.
Your old teeth?
Mm-hmm. When I marry my girl, I'm gonna take my grill and make the ring out the grill.
Do you take this tooth to be my betrothed?
Yeah. It's real life shit now. She got to feel the endearment in that.
That's even more like meaningful and special than if you just were to get her.
That's
like,
what I think. That's what I think too. Yeah.
Do the teeth
keep lying to yourself? Dude, I'm with you, dude.
That's so funny. There.
Well, then, yeah, but that's what I'm gonna do.
Do the teeth not smell like the fucking penguin area?
Like no, I kept it clean. Okay, I kept it clean.
You learned your lesson.
It wasn't a brushing problem necessarily.
No,
it was
no. This is that's what it is with real life shit.
Yeah. If you're to go back and kind of restart, like, or if your rap career was starting today, knowing everything you know, what pitfalls would you avoid?
I just will save every fucking penny.
Yeah. Don't give Dave Chappelle the wax
Don't
worm.
Don't spend no fucking money.
Really?
Yes. That's what it'd been.
How reckless were you?
Don't spend no money and invest it all. Mm.
You How know? Reckless were you with your financials? Like Lawrence
I said. Just loved clothes and drugs and women. That's it right there.
The ultimate guest for this podcast. Yes. You love all of those
the
things.
The top
as
three
well.
Things that would take it, that would deplete
what
your
order,
funds.
What order? Is it clothes, drugs, women in descending order?
No, probably backwards.
Yeah, okay. Women, drugs, clothes. What have you spent the most money on? Women. Ooh. It's got to be women.
No, I would say, to be honest, taking care of my family.
Well, I meant between those three, clothes, drugs,
shit. No, we don't want to care about fucking family, bro.
No, I think more so I gave it away than anything. Yeah?
Just like being a generous guy?
I mean, it is what it is.
How much do you think you spent on drugs in your whole lifetime?
It started coming for free.
Yeah.
Is that after that's a while, the problem, right?
That's the picture.
And then
moment.
Even, yeah, it started, and that's what the excess is.
Right.
People just love to be able to say, oh, fuck, I sell drugs to him, you know, type shit. That's even kind of happening with me now.
People are enabling you, I believe.
I mean, I guess I'm a trustful person. So they just give me a lot.
Danny, if you want some mushrooms, I got you, bro.
I'm done with mushrooms. I'm done with eating mushrooms.
Oh, word?
For a minute, yeah.
Why?
I just ate a quarter pound in a month.
Damn.
Your mind was too free.
I went through too much shit.
You killed your ego death, died five times.
Mm-hmm. No, the craziest I had of that was I did acid and went in the sensory deprivation tank.
Okay.
What?
How sick was that, dude?
It was terrible because I was listening to the rock band Ghost.
Okay.
Before I went in there. And so I was just seeing, you know what he looks like the ghost.
Yeah,
like
dude.
Devilish. It was just so I'm in there. I'm like freaking out for my life.
Could you get out of the tank or were you like locked in?
Sounds like some tort, like Guantanamo Bay level.
I mean,
tort.
I got out earlier than what I was supposed to.
Okay.
You know? But yeah, never do acid.
The session ended early.
Never do acid and get in a sensory deprivation
tank. And listen to ghosts also.
And listening to ghosts. Like, it's not a good idea.
I feel
idea.
Like the sensory deprivation tank is supposed to, like, give you the feeling.
I love
of being
the sensory deprivation tank. I'm saying it to say that is the one you can actually trip there without taking any psychedelics.
Right.
Like, I've done it before. I mean, I would eat like a lot of edibles. Mm. Just so I could be relaxed because it could make you feel you'll get a nervous or scared sometimes.
What's your
doing it?
What's your typical drug consumption these days?
None. I just smoke weed, really.
Man, how much money do you think you spent on clothes in your lifetime?
I was stealing from the cleaners, remember?
Right. To this day.
Always finessed it. I stole from the cleaners and I get free shit. And most of the shit I like is vintage.
Right.
I just had that bad phase of Balmain and Rick Owens like everybody else. And
yeah.
I was
you were a statistic in that regard.
Yeah, I'm a statistic. I was spending way more than I was earning.
on Balmain jeans?
Was that the worst jeans? Style phase you think you went through in your life?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I wore leather for an entire summer. Head to toe leather.
Those must have smelled like a penguin after that summer.
Oh, nasty, dude.
Man. I mean, you got to put your jeans in the freezer.
Even the leathers?
Yeah.
All right. Kills the ball stank.
Do you still have that shit? Like, where's that at now?
Gave it all away.
Yeah.
I give it away. Yeah, like my little cousins and shit like that.
And this, he's like, this smells like shit. What the fuck, Unc?
I mean, yeah, but then it's cool.
What's your style now like these days? Is it just kind of like more comfortable? Like North Projects, probably the first and only rapper we've had on that was wearing North Projects, to be honest.
Yeah. That's a flex. Really?
Which is, like they make great t-shirts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like not try to stand out kind of shit. Like before we was always trying to wear the most outlandish big logo
shit.
Everyone, we want you to know how much money we spent on this
right,
shit.
Right. Conspicuous
and now it's almost like just, nah, if you know, kinda.
Right.
Yeah.
Like just trying to look
you're not regular, to be clear.
Trying to be normal as possible. Trying to still look normal as possible in public, you know? Instead of walking around fucking all leather. You know what I'm saying?
In the summer.
And big ass boots up to your knees and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Looking like a WWE wrestler.
Yes, yeah, exactly. That's what it looked like.
Woo!
That's what I look like.
Walking around like the Undertaker, dude.
And then my hair was crazy. I got a missing tooth. So yeah, it was bizarre.
But you rented it.
It was a look. I mean, and I think that's got to be how a lot of people discovered you, because it's like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Like being an alien or an anomaly, right?
Yeah, I talk about that a lot, too. I think more so what happened, I think people would see me do interviews and stuff. That's why it's so cool that I do podcasts now. It's almost like maybe that was my Roscoe dad.
The shit
you're calling.
Because people would hear my music. They'd be like, whatever. They'd be like, whatever. But then they'll see me in an interview or something, and then they'll like me from the interview, and then that would make them start to like the music a little more.
They like the person. Well,
they get to know the man behind the music.
Yeah, I think that's really what it was with me.
The interview you did with Kathy Griffin and A$AP Rocky is a fucking classic.
Yeah, I made it happen.
Yeah. Oh, that was all you.
Yeah.
Was that a maestro?
I had a crush on Kathy Griffin.
Yeah?
Anything ever happened there?
Nah. She all right.
Oh, damn.
No, she's not. Remember, she got canceled for
holding Trump head.
No, what it was, I wasn't cool as Rocky. I would have one figured it out, and then she just was trying to fuck around with Rocky, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's
is that
he's
normally a, what happens when you're around Rocky? Or at least in the past? All bitches just trying to fuck Pretty Flacco?
He was trying to fuck all the bitches. It wasn't the bitches trying to...
He was the Machine Gun Kelly to your friend Montana.
Cuz was crazy. That's my dog, though.
Did you ever pull up to any of those orgies he's always talking about and shit? Like,
did I ever pull up to the orgies?
Yeah, to one of Rocky's orgies.
No, I wasn't invited. They knew what that was going to be. I'm loud, man. I'm not like, you know.
Yo, Danny, keep it down, dude.
Yeah, no.
Kind of focus.
And I'm doing shit to be funny, you know? So I'm not that guy. Yeah. I'm that guy that'll just be moaning like, oh, it's so good.
The class clown of an orgy.
Yeah, that's the type of shit I would be doing. Because it's going to be awkward, so I got to like break the ice. I got to make it all put. So yeah, I would be that guy that's,
Or you clip this out.
Bringing too much wax to the orgy. Yeah. Everyone's falling asleep.
But yeah, I would be that guy in orgy. I'm just being loud for fun.
What, at its peak, what was like the groupie situation looking like?
Oh, because I would be like banging porn stars I used to jack off to.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
So well,
that's got to be a fucking crazy full circle moment. Yeah. Full nut moment.
Yeah, that was a full nut moment.
Is that the opposite of Never Meet Your Idol? It's like, you do want to fuck your idol.
Yes, yeah. That is the truth too. Because you've been watching this shit like, damn, bitch, you be going crazy. And then in real life, it's like, it ain't like that.
Because she's not working.
Yeah, she's like, that's for work.
She's out
like,
of the
what
clock.
What are you talking about? I'm like, oh.
You think a chef comes home from the restaurant and cooks?
I know. But I really thought it was like that. They're like, no, I want to be.
That's how they get you, dude.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, I guess that was.
They're like, nah, squirt is pee.
Oh, definitely is.
Yeah? Is squirt pee?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Didn't they just confirm that? Is that what the scientist said?
I mean, you smell it. If you got a bitch that squirt enough, you wake up the next morning.
That shit ain't fucking pickled onion monster munch, dude. I'll tell you that, but.
I mean, I don't care. Spray it on me. Spray it on me, man.
Episode title, spray it on me. What about just like general fans? What's been your wildest fan interaction?
Wildest fan interaction?
I got my dick sucked on stage.
Besides being sexually assaulted on stage.
Yeah. No, wildest fan interactions, I would just think, no, I don't know. I can't say.
Getting your dick sucked on stage, was that like...
Crazy. No, it was sexual assault.
Yeah, yeah. You were. You were a victim.
I was a victim. I actually think it was the Illuminati government sent to...
It was a psyop?
Yeah, they were sent to destroy my rap career.
Wait, real talk?
It's a 50-year-old white lady.
What? Was it Kathy Griffin?
It looked like her.
Damn.
Jesus Christ.
This is why you should have been wearing underwear, bro. If you weren't going commando, then you would have had another layer of protection.
You need to be sacked up, bro.
That was during my Molly phase.
Mm.
So everything felt good.
Yeah.
You didn't bust on stage, did you?
No.
Okay.
You kind of like pushed her away, right? If I remember correctly. I
mean, damn, bro. I know you don't like talking about this, but we're like, yo, we have to ask
him. Yeah, I mean, it was a bad situation.
Yeah,
man.
It was bad.
It's my fault just as much as it was her fault.
Sure.
I'm not putting the
two-way
blame
street.
On. Yeah, it was a two-way street. It takes two to tangle.
Yeah.
Like I put my dick out.
Well, we've all been there in our Molly phases.
But I blame Rick Owens too.
Really?
Okay, go on.
Because if he never made these big ass shirts, you couldn't be walking around dick out like that. You know what I'm saying?
You ever see the Rick Owens look that he sent down the runway where the model has a little window for his penis?
It's a dick cloak.
Unfortunately, this one model had a very tiny shrimp dick, but it was like a full body length piece that was just had a window for
that
the cock.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Also, I'd like to give that guy some credit. That's a big stage to just have your fucking shit dangling on.
Yeah.
It's Fashion Week, you know?
I think anybody would be a little shrimpy in that situation.
Yeah, it would have shrunk up a little bit for sure.
Yeah.
No, Shrimp Owens, dude.
Fuck that. I'd have been hitting my shit. Like, you about to see this motherfucker with a full charge.
Like, Danny's like, I'm fucking good.
Before I hit the stage.
When you walked the McNary show, did you fluff?
I would have been full of charge.
Just walk out with a fucking torqued up.
Straight boner. Straight boner.
Shit look like a coat rack,
you ain't
bro.
About to see the weather. You ain't going to see this normal. You going to see this like in its fullest potential. What are you trying to do to me?
Is that penguin fully hard? What's going on, bro?
Boner.
Boner.
Danny, rap is such a young man's game. I mean, now we're seeing like guys in their 40s still put out albums and work like such as yourself. But when you're kicking it with like the whole Bruiser Brigade homies, do you ever feel washed up?
Fuck no. I would never feel washed up in rap in general because it's something... I mean, it's still like I love it like a hobby kind of situation.
Yeah.
And what I think now, I'm just one of those lucky guys that... I mean, my first album was 30. At 30 years
when
old.
When you were 30.
Yeah. So, but hip-hop has grown with us too.
Sure.
As much as they say it's a young man game, it's still 50-year-old fans of it now.
Do you ever feel like you were ahead of the times? Like you were ahead of the curve too much?
I mean, I guess, but I'm not one of those type of guys that feel like I'm old something because of that.
Right.
You know how they be like, oh, everybody fighting the style, everybody doing it. It's like, man,
I
did something good for the world and somebody else was to get influenced by it and be able to put their own take and spin on it. Because that's all I did with hip hop in general. And all the time people I named, Nas, E-40, Dizzy Rascal, all I was doing was trying to be like them.
Right.
Just putting my own spin on it anyway. So, you know, I mean, you know, coming from the era of hip hop, it would always this thing of don't bite, don't be, everybody want to be original and this and that. But at the end of the day, we all influenced
from
something.
It's like impossible
something.
To
act. Yes, we're all influenced purely, from something, you know? So I will say, I think now this is a cool time to be an old guy to be a part of hip hop. Like seeing someone like Jay-Z or E-40, like these guys are in their 50s still busting bars.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm growing up with them. It's like, oh, I want to be like that too. Mm. 10 years from now, I'm 41 years old. That's 10 a nice years album, from now, sure. I still want to be able to drop a dope 16 if I feel like it, you know?
Do we know when the album's coming out or is it still label politics?
We're still mixing.
Okay. But it's okay, still but not that's, finished. But soon. Soon.
This year? Dark this year?
Okay.
Oh, all right. Ooh, okay. I'm gonna hear all some right. shit off mic.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. We should.
I would love to hear some shit.
Sure. You had the song Ain't It Funny with the music video was directed by our boy Jonah Hill.
For the show.
How is he like as a director?
Yeah.
He was amazing. I think that was...
That was a dark video.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fire.
Yeah.
It was like a conceptual. It was like sophisticated. It wasn't just like some, you know... cars and
that was right before
hose.
He did the skateboard movie
mid-90s
yeah so
and then eventually did he direct a Travis Scott video too like later
yeah I think so yeah
but you were
so,
first
so it was all about he was like trying to test out the cameras before he shot because you know that was all like VHS all them old school 90s cameras and shit so it was like it was almost like a warm-up before he got to do the movie you
right,
know
right, right.
But he was I mean just for what that video looks like and the amount of time we spent on it, it's insane to me.
Right.
Like, that looks like a weekend shoot. That shit was literally like 5 hours.
Really? Did he reach out to you? Is that how that worked there?
Yeah, didn't it? I think so.
What was that? Is that like, how flattering was that? Was that just like, all right, sure, but like crazy or?
Yeah, I guess that's one of those moments where you're like, man, I can't believe this is real.
Right.
Like, where you just asked me questions, I couldn't even figure it out. That was one of those kind of times where like, what the fuck, Jonah Hill?
Superbad?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what the fuck is going on?
The fact that...
And he fucking created... It's probably one of my best videos, you know? It's definitely my best video, I feel like. Top three.
Not well, grown up is up
Woody.
There.
You got a Woody for that.
Grown up. But see, grown up, I didn't even really had nothing to do with that. I just showed up and had
the
to Scion do one side.
Really
it's like all whatever.
It was like 1 hour of shooting for that video. Because they used the kid for most of the shit. So it wasn't even me.
Mini me.
Oh, the hardest video I did was that fucking Bob Dylan video.
What was
Which
that?
Which one is that?
You know what I'm talking about? I did a Bob Dylan video.
Where you're Bob?
Yes. Oh, I know what you're talking about. There was all those cameos and shit. Yeah, you're in that. Okay. But that was like, well, how long were you shooting for that?
That was like a whole day. It was hard. That was like the hardest shit I did. Changing in the van, coming like, it was very hard to do that video.
But that's like, I think if I can remember, there's like a roster of crazy people that are in that video. So I guess it's still flattering.
But I was like the main character.
Okay.
Right? When you watch it, like you see a lot of people like pop in or like do shit, but I was like the main.
You're the focus.
Yeah, I was the focus of the shit. I was the lead in that shit. And that shit was hard, man.
Do you still have your Woody Award?
I mean, not because of COVID.
Oh, wait, shit.
I just lost a lot of shit during COVID.
Oh, really?
Like moving from my house. Okay. And
not because you're doing a fucking eight ball. And
No. I mean, it's probably at my studio somewhere. Okay.
It's probably some stripper's ass in Amsterdam.
It's probably at my studio, though. I just don't know. I mean, just a lot of stuff. Like, I just boxed up a lot of stuff.
Some stripper's uterus is like a treasure cove. just like full of Rolexes and Woodies and Chrome Hearts jewelry.
Y'all bad. Y'all bad. Y'all are bad.
That's Danny, that real booty, dude.
You've worked with so many artists across your whole career. You know, they've worked on your shit, you and vice versa. Who's a musician you haven't worked with yet that you would love to work with?
Damn.
What's astral project?
And
from
also,
the Toto?
What I don't think people realize is how like well versed you are in genres outside of just rap and hip hop.
Mm-hmm. It's a long list.
Who's, up at, think, who's up at the top?
But far as which would have been cool, we actually supposed to work with Cuz from Portishead.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
damn.
Before COVID actually happened. So if,
that's you on your genre bending.
That would be
general
crazy.
Yeah, so like Massive Attack type shit.
Okay.
All the like top drum and bass jungle producers and shit like that. I would love to have that phase.
Just like get busy over a like a original instrumental.
Yeah,
or
all like the top UK motherfuckers, Tom York.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
What about like you know, we talked about how generally speaking, rappers aren't the most fun to party with because they're just so concerned about like what the optics
it's
are.
It's dangerous.
They, yeah.
That
yeah.
too.
But do you have any, like, who are your favorite rappers to party with? Like, is Rocky fun to party with?
Yeah, but...
Or is he just too busy trying to have sex?
Well, I would say I've had my most fun, like, my closest friend. But I had, like, my probably most fun was, like, Schoolboy Q.
Oh, shit.
I would hang out with him a lot.
You guys play golf together?
No, I think that's... See, that's when he got me out of his life, once that phase.
He switched you up for Macklemore, dude.
He can't, yeah, facts.
I got a tea time like at that. 6 a.m.
Yeah.
That's some shit like that. But I do... I actually have a great time always hanging out with the Run the Jewels guys.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Killer Mike and LP. I love hanging out with them.
We saw them open for Rage. Dart was in the full Charles Oakley fit at MSG.
Oh, wow.
Just paying his respects.
With the Knicks bucket hat on.
Oh, wow. But yeah, I love those guys. They always...
Is that because that's more of like an age-appropriate hang? Versus hang with the young buck?
Yeah, hanging with the younger rappers is a bit intense. I mean, they let you know how old you are quick.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel
are
like...
Are they quick with a roast too? Like Zaloopers or whoever? Like just
Nah, I'm good at that shit. So niggas ain't
I guess you're the
me.
Boss in that regard. So it's like...
Are they just
like
on... Are they trying to do... instead of like drink and smoke weed, are they trying to just do like drugs that we don't even know exist?
Exactly. Trying to prove... Trying to like impress me.
Oh, because you're the Adderall admiral.
Yeah, and that's what I think happens a lot, and I don't like that.
So it's your reputation
where people are like trying to like,
way.
Or even trying to like give me stuff, or just trying to be like, try to make themselves feel cool right. by being like that. And it's like, bro, that's...
Danny, you want this new shit called fucking, I don't know, spice ketamine? Like,
yeah,
like
all that? Right, let's see what it do.
What? Okay, so I truly believe that your style, your personal style, is criminally underrated, and that like I would today put you up there in like top five of best rappers with the best style. What rappers do you think have good style?
Smino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's the freshest.
Okay.
Smino. Of course, you know, everybody gonna put Rocky.
Sure.
And Zaloopers.
Like, yeah. That's. Yeah. We saw him with some like Carmen's on. We're like, yo, what the fuck?
But see, you know, that's my pride. You know, I trained the boy.
Right, right, right. You trained him well.
He like, he styled this monkey on a podcast, and it was like a EG vest with like a racist chain and like an MCM backpack.
Oh, that's
or
Zach,
like,
yeah. Zach Fox or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
But that's, he's definitely up there.
He's very underrated and like a next up type cat. Yeah, just across music and style. For
yeah,
sure.
But I would say Z, Smino. Yeah, of course the ASAP guys and all them. But man, on just like some cool shit, man. I feel like just like on some OG shit. I always like the way Nas dressed.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like just classic, like...
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Queensbridge swag.
Yeah, I feel like all those guys, like, from that era of, like, Carhartt shit, you know what I'm saying?
And that shit obviously, is now coming back again.
I'm into
like,
that
all
shit,
these brands,
yeah.
That's every brand's mood board, right? Mm-hmm. You know?
Like yeah.
Corner Boy.
And then, of course, like, the... I would say all the UK guys, too.
Mm. Who's just number one up there?
Level shit.
Big Smoke, Skep,
Stormzy?
Yeah, Skepta, probably. It would probably be Skepta.
He's number one.
Yeah. As far as fashion. Yeah.
What about that little man. What about that little white kid, Dave? You know that kid?
No, Dave's not white. You're thinking of
no.
C. Oh,
fuck. No, no, no. Not CC. And not Dave.
Dave is like, black.
No, H. But it's A-I-T-C-H. Yeah. Dart knows.
I never heard of him. I don't know.
What brands are most represented in your closet besides Carhartt, which is obviously number one? It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
And then what else is up there?
Now I've just been buying a lot of like John Elliott t-shirts.
Oh, really? Shit. Shout out our boy. John Elliott, bro.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just buy like a lot.
Why are you buying it? You should be on Flow Team. We got to put you in touch with
John, we'll put you on text.
We could actually, that's the one thing we could actually like do for you. Oh, another guy, bro.
That would be so tight. Yeah. But yeah, I think I'm infectious. Just having like plain t-shirts, just feel comfortable and shit. So yeah, like John Elliott t-shirts now. And just getting like vintage shit, like being in Austin. Just going like around or like thrift stores.
Oh, there's got to be like you have your pick of the litter probably right out there.
I found an Astroworld t-shirt for $5. And I thought I hit the lick.
You wear it, bro.
I thought I hit the lick. I'm like, oh my God. They mad at this nigga. They put the Astroworld shirt in the thrift store. And like,
yeah, that's the site of 10 murder, 10 deaths.
Yeah, I know.
The family t-shirt. Of the dead kid donated it.
I know. Like, I feel bad wearing it around. Even when I brought it home, my girl was like, why'd you buy that shirt?
It's cursed.
You know, you can't wear that around. I'm like, it was $5.
You steal your girl shit, does she ever affect your style, give you feedback on your style that you actually take to heart and implement, or no?
My girl's from the old school, man. She's
like, here's some Tim's.
So what does she think of, like, what would she think of this?
And today? She was raised in Texas. She don't understand none of this shit.
Right.
So she see me sometime and she'd be like, what the fuck?
She's
like,
not fluent
you?
In
she's
slack.
Like, why are you trying to look homeless on purpose? You know? And then she will come somewhere like New York and she'll see everybody. She's like, everybody dressed like you here. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it'd be like, what? I don't, what are you talking
it's
about?
Like, no, actually, that's the line at the Bowery Mission. Those are all homeless guys.
I know. So her whole
guys are all aged out, dude.
So her whole shit is like, what the fuck? She don't understand it. But I get that too.
You know it's fire. That's what we say in the pod. If your girl hates your fit, that's how you know it's fucking fire.
Growing up in Texas is just different fashion there anyway. I mean, you got to dress to be comfortable. It's fucking 100 degrees every day.
You though in some like Wranglers and cowboy boots. And
I mean, what happened to me just living there, now I don't like wearing socks or any type of shoe in general. So I'm always barefoot.
Or like in slides.
Walking around barefoot? Wearing. I have a vast sandal collection now.
You're
I make ribs and now I learned how to make ribs. So nice. I'm just always barbecuing ribs in my sandals in the apron.
You're just on the big, you're in the big unk twos. Fucking chakotas on the grill.
Mm-hmm. Hoka makes the best sandals.
Oh,
too.
Facts, dude. Mm-hmm.
Your propensity for going underwearless is probably beneficial in Texas.
I'm wearing sex. That was a joke. Joke.
Right. It was convincing.
Oh, I mean, I don't, if I'm at home, I don't wear drawers because I don't feel like doing all that laundry.
That's fair.
You know?
Yeah.
You're only supposed to wear underwear in public.
According to who? What do you mean?
Like, I mean, just
you say that like it's gospel.
I mean, if I'm just sitting at the crib, I just throw a pair of jogging pants on. Why would I waste a pair of drawers?
That's true.
And I'm about to have to wash clothes and doing all this shit, you know? Mm-hmm. So I always, because you always, I mean, it's one thing to dirty up your clothes, but you can't run out of underwear.
No.
Right.
You know, I always got to have some clean drawers in a drawer.
Just in case. Yeah. Breaking case.
I know I'm not doing right when I look into my fucking underwear drawer and I don't have a clean pair of socks or a clean pair of drawers. You're like, yeah, what's been? I'm on a bender.
You're running.
I'm obviously on a bender right now.
We're going through right now as you're in your girl's no-show Adidas socks that you wore with Nike shoes. Criminal offense.
Yeah.
You're lucky we don't alert the NYPD.
No, I love that shit. I love mixing brands like that. I was definitely a part of it. I was one of those guys that wore Adidas pants with Nike blazers.
Because it's antagonistic.
With Nike windbreakers and shit. No, I was I was a huge fan of this UK show called People Just Do Nothing.
Oh, the best, dude.
Yeah.
The DJs,
Grindr,
dude.
MC Grindr and all that. So I went through a whole phase where I just wanted to dress like them.
Like a comedic clown character who's like not an actual person.
And it was like a uniform. So they would like wear like Air Maxes, Adidas track pants, Nike windbreakers, polo hat.
Great show.
He had to remember this. I went through a whole phase of where I dressed like this for maybe like a year or two. And so, and the reason why they wore that because they couldn't just wear one brand.
Right. They had to show it all.
Yeah. They had to, you know.
Yeah.
Because they weren't getting sponsored by any of it. So they had
the full spectrum.
Yeah. They had to wear everything.
Danny, it sounds like you have a lot of experience in this area and you know that you're in one when you have no underwear left. What are the keys to a good bender?
It's never a good bender.
Really? Benders are inherently negative?
Yes, definitely.
Like a strong bender. Then.
Definitely. I'm you just feel so bad after it's over with, man. It takes me like...
But in the moment when you think it's going well...
It always happened by mistake.
You just find yourself in one like a hurricane.
No, just like...
Tornado.
Or like recently. I took a shit ton of mushrooms. I went to my homie crib for a party. We tripped out like crazy. Started back drinking. I ain't drank for like 2 months. Started drinking again. Next thing I know, they had blow. Now we're doing that.
Right,
next
thing
I know, I look up, it's 2 months later.
Next thing you know, you're on the Throwing Fits podcast.
Yeah, still doing the same shit. Like, fuck.
Did you still have underwear though? Or were you out? You were out of underwear at that point?
No, I was free balling on purpose, dude.
Okay. So keys to a good bender, just go
no underwear.
Let it rock.
No, that might not be a good idea.
Maybe like if you like Bender, change your clothes in a pack. Might be nice to have.
Yeah, just yeah.
Like an emergency
kit.
What
is up with these survival packs with you, man?
Yeah, you need a go bag.
Yeah.
A blow bag.
What is up with the survival packs, man?
Well, in your podcast, The Danny Brown Show, like you're super honest and transparent about like what's going on in your life, what's going on with your mental health and everything. What's the reaction been from your fellow rappers who maybe aren't as like transparent about like their internal being?
I would say it's been kind of positive from everybody. Like yeah. A lot of people just been hitting me up. Like good they feedback. Love the show, oh, saying like it's dope. Yeah. So, I mean, I would say it's been kind of positive, to be honest. It's more so than I thought. Like everybody want to come on and hang out.
It's right. Pretty revolutionary so it's from like cool. Hip hop that, because I mean, everyone's so concerned about like the image and being like the superhero, right? Mm-hmm. And being like indestructible. And then you're out here talking about like personal struggles.
Yeah, I've definitely humanized myself to these people.
For
yeah.
sure.
Which is good too, man. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to live like a fake perception of myself. Right. I guess I'm kind of like telling my story to people now.
They can
really,
truth.
Yeah, so they can really see who I am. I just hope now it doesn't affect the music.
No, for sure. But like your shit stands in opposition to like Budden or Drink Champs or $1 million Worth of Game because it's just it's a different thing. It's like its own genre. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if like there would be rappers that would be like, not that they would talk shit like to your face, but like that don't understand it.
No, I think. I think some rappers probably look at it as like a, I don't know, like.
Hipster?
Like a cop-out kind of thing.
Okay. Really?
Like, his rap career ain't cracking like that. Oh, now you got to do shit. That kind of, like feel like he fell off to be doing a podcast kind of shit.
What would you say to those
I would think that, I mean, I always wanted to do comedy. And right. I mean, I'm not doing some bootleg shit from my basement. I'm a right. Wild Mage. I'm yeah. with Tom Segura. I'm with the top G's. So yeah. At the end of the day, I look at it like. You know, I was drafted to play for a good team. You know what I'm saying?
Honestly, yeah, yeah.
You're Brady on the Bucks.
Yeah. So
well, not this like, year, but last year, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So I look at it like that. It ain't like I'm just trying to start some shit on my own from my basement. Right. You know?
Because
like
you
I'm,
have nothing else going on. Right?
Yeah.
This isn't a struggle pod. Like, this is...
And reaching. This is something that we've been building on for years.
Right.
Like, he's been telling me, like, he's been wanting to do this shit. And, yeah, so...
You did mention on a recent episode that you're kind of getting like podcast brain, which is something that we struggle with where you're like doing shit in real life with your girl, with your friends, and you're always just like, oh, this will be good content.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Has that ever bit you in the ass when you're like too forthcoming on the pod?
Yeah, with my girl, obviously. Does she listen? She just cussed me out this morning. She listens to everything I do. I told her to
That's
stop.
That's a problem.
Yes. I told her to stop just yep. listening to it, but she's like, because I know she's listening to it for negative reasons.
Right, she's listening to
it. She wants ammunition on you.
Yeah, she's listening to it for me to say some fucked up shit about her or
not
something like that.
Not as a fan or as a supportive.
Yeah, she's not listening to it to have fun. She's listening to it to hear some bad shit.
She's the ops.
And then hear that one thing, and then it's a whole big deal, you know.
Well, what was like a recent instance where like you actually?
Get pissed at?
Oh, yesterday I did Legion of Skanks.
Oh.
And I think I was hitting on Janine Garofalo or something.
Is your type old? Older comedians, Kathy Griffin, Jeannie Garofalo.
Old white bitches?
Yeah.
God, I mean, they're fun to be around.
That aren't trying to rape you on stage in the ring?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
dark confirmed.
So yeah, I said I'd knock it down.
What's, so you solicit questions and answer them on the podcast, whether it's through email or voicemail. What's the most out-of-pocket shit you've ever been asked for the pod?
Most out-of-pocket?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean... Anytime something that deal with like race issues or something like that.
Like are they like, themselves racist?
No, like just shit like that. Like, okay. Just like, I don't know. It always just makes me uncomfortable. All that stuff kind of makes me uncomfortable. Just like race
people
shit
want,
in general.
Wanting you to be like a mouthpiece.
Yeah. Like, I'm like,
issues.
I mean, yeah. And that's just.
That segues into my next question. Where do you stand on race relations? No, I'm just kidding.
What do you think of the uprising in Iran?
That's a thing?
No, I mean, yes. Yes, but you can do your Googles on the Uber way back.
No, but so another thing that like constantly comes up on the podcast is on the Danny Brown Show, go fucking stream it right now, is just getting your ass whooped as a kid, like whether by your parents or by like just
fighting
bullies,
all the time. I never was good at fighting.
What's the worst ass whooping you've ever gotten?
Oh, I got fucked up in the Pontchartrain Hotel, downtown Detroit.
What happened?
How recently?
No, this is a long ass time ago. I've told this story a few times, but yeah, I just was drunk. Just too drunk, and I was actually beefing with these guys at the time. We just seen each other
in the hotel. Shit.
Yeah, in the hotel lobby, and I was like these girls I was talking to the girls, and all I remember, man, one of them walked up was like, if you ain't got no gun on you right now, we about to whoop your ass.
That's no, I mean, that could have been worse.
I ain't had like, no gun on me.
Damn.
And the last thing I remember, somebody's face just got close to my eye. Like, he did like a Michael Jackson dance. And before I knew it, they were waking me up off the ground. It was like statues broke everywhere, glass. Oh, it was like
just got fucked up.
Straight pandemonium.
So and you I put was, up a fight at least, sounds like.
I don't know. I think I got knocked out on the first punch.
They thrown but it was like a ragdoll.
It was a Timberland tree in the middle of my head. Like a,
it said made in China on your forehead.
Bro, it was like a scar. Then you know when it turns into a sword, then you got to pick it off. And it was just like a pink Timberland tree. It like evolved into some shit. It was so bad, man. So yeah. But the good thing, I will say that I talked about getting my ass whipped on a podcast so much, is a guy from a Muay Thai gym contacted me.
Yeah.
And was like,
you don't have to defend yourself, bro.
And was like, yo, if you're tired of getting your ass whipped, man, you should, I'll give you a few free classes to come and do some Muay Thai.
This is like a gritty reboot of The Karate Kid.
Yeah.
I'm Danielson. Yeah. So, so I've been taking Danielson Muay Thai. Brown. I've been doing Muay Thai for, I think, 2-3 months now.
How?
And I'm fucking addicted to it.
How are crazy nice? Hard are your shins?
I mean, I'm obviously, from my first class to where I'm at now, of course I'm not nice. I still suck. You know, like even just this past month, we were doing pad holding month where I had to learn how to hold pads.
Yeah.
And I'm holding pads for killers. These motherfuckers is, bro. And you have all the equipment on the pads and all that shit, but still, you feel all this shit. And you go home. I do it on the weekends, like Saturday and Sunday, maybe do hour and a half sessions, and I'm literally sore the entire week.
Right? It sounds like a gunshot when they're shooting.
Soon as I'm good enough to be like live a normal life again, that's when I got to go to class. So,
it's
given me a lot of discipline because, like, even on like drinking, I'd be like, man, I don't want to drink tonight. I got to go to class tomorrow. Shit don't feel horrible, man.
Do you still have nerves in your shins, or are those?
No, it's only been 2 months,
okay,
bro.
All right.
But I would say I from the first class that I went to and kick in and learn how to do all that stuff, I can see an improvement.
Do you have
that's
muscles?
Making
you
have, me, no, man.
You have abs?
No.
You're still penguin body, bro.
I'm penguin. I'm still penguin.
If you found yourself in that same situation many years ago in that hotel lobby, could you have fared better now with what you've learned in 2 months?
No. What happens is, just going to Muay Thai and being involved in that community and that class and stuff, it humbled me and I never want to fight again.
Oh, shit. Mm.
Because you don't know what these motherfuckers got.
Killers.
These motherfuckers look like secretaries, like little 5'8", 5'5", ladies, like wearing glasses and will fuck you up out here. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, you don't never know who you're dealing with out here. So it kind of like, I ain't talking shit to nobody.
Yeah.
I know what it is now.
It's like
you
never
get what I'm
start
saying?
A bar fight with a guy with a cauliflower ear because it doesn't matter the stats. He's
but now you don't
kill you.
You know anybody. It can be anybody now. Just based on what this the type of people I know take my Muay Thai classes is like.
Do you want to like get in the ring and like actually spar one day or like?
No,
or
I'm going to have to spar because that's what we're talking about now. The thing is because you know obviously, so they want to like they're helping me to get to intermediate class as fast as possible so I can be able to go whenever I want. So yeah, we're just trying to get it together, but see, I'm out here for a few weeks. I mean, I was out here for a week. I haven't been to a class in a minute, so it's like you got to go every week.
I took I lived in Thailand for a year and took like 2 Muay Thai lessons, and that shit destroys you.
Mm-hmm.
It is probably the most intense like training I've ever done for sure. It's crazy.
Yeah, the thing is about Muay Thai is no head movement.
No head movement. That's the thing.
It's all about being in your shield. Take one and give one.
Okay, and then cracking your shins with metal pipes. At least that's how they did in this old man's backyard in Thailand.
Yeah, it's that shit.
Jesus besides Christ. The Muay Thai, I mean, so with the podcast, like any fan of Danny Brown, any fan of just like an interesting guy with his story to tell, they learn something new every single episode, multiple things. But what's something about Danny Brown that might actually surprise people that you can just tell us right now, whether they're like a super fan or just becoming a fan of you by listening to the only podcast that matters?
I'm so open and I think I always tell like the most embarrassing shit about myself anyway. I probably already talked about it, but I don't know.
Bated breath. Just waiting.
I think for the most part, I don't know. I think now, I'll say this. I used to be a cat person.
Okay. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I love
used
cats.
Used to be.
Yeah.
What happened?
I went through that crazy divorce and she took the cats.
Oh, damn. Wait, you got divorced?
You might as well call it that.
Okay, it was like that.
Yeah. Are you a dog person or are you just not a cat person?
Yeah, now I have dogs.
How many dogs
I have chihuahuas now.
How many chihuahuas?
The cat
I got
dogs.
I got two. We had 3. We just had to put one down.
Oh,
it was super sad.
Yeah.
It was super sad. I didn't know that shit was like that.
What are their names? Your chihuahuas?
Samsung and Ditto.
Okay.
Nice. So Ditto.
Is Samsung Korean?
No, Samsung white. Oh. And he gay.
You have a gay white
old white gay man. Yeah, Samson's an old white
named
gay man.
Korean phone.
Samson's an old white gay man.
But yeah, but I just got ditto.
Wait, Samson or Samsung?
Samson.
Oh, okay. Samson.
Like from
okay.
the Bible.
Yeah, not Samsung, like the TVs.
I call them both.
Not a Galaxy 4X.
It depends. Yeah, it depends on what yeah. you're doing, how it comes out.
Depends how gay he's being.
Yeah. But Samson. Yeah, Samson. I miss him right now where I'm talking shit, man. That's my boy. He, part two, that's who held me down being in Texas, man. That's my best friend, man.
Like emotional support.
Yeah. And that's what I would say. I didn't
Cats
know.
Cats will never give that to you. Exactly. I'm a dog man
and
myself.
I would say I didn't know that you can have that with animals. Like,
oh, yeah.
So now it just done a whole different
Fuck
thing with
cats.
Me. So I put Ditto. We put her in obedience school for a few weeks when I went to Europe. And my girl, she took a trip to Mexico to hang out with her family.
How did Ditto do?
She became more gangster. It was $2,000 for nothing. Now you can't open a door around a motherfucker. She jumping out. It literally was like when a thug go to jail. Like he hung around more ill criminals. And now she just came back extra worse.
At least Ditto convert to Islam?
She's a 5%er.
Dog, it's so scary.
And she's a black Israelite now?
She's got a teardrop.
But what I will say, when I picked her up from the obedience school after she was there for like a few weeks, it was like one of the top moments in my life because I never felt love like that before in my life. No one has ever been that excited to
girl.
See me. No one's ever been
Not
that excited.
Moms.
It jumped on me, kissed me, licked me, just going crazy.
You're like, free and ditto. Free ditto till ditto
like
free.
Making noises like, ah! Like, this is my nigga back? I thought y'all niggas gave up on me. Like, I thought y'all gave up on me. And I took her home. And her and Samson, they always get into fights and shit. They don't really hang out.
Oh, they beef.
Even when I brought her in the crib and Samson seen her, he went crazy. Like, what? Ghetto back? Oh, it's lit. They jumping around. Like, and I never experienced shit like that before. I was like, oh, I'm like a tear. Like,
wow,
my eyes
dude.
Get watery. Like, what the fuck, man?
Damn.
Just to feel that amount. So, yeah, I do it for my dogs, man.
Literally.
Yeah, actually, who I do it for? Yeah. Now I do it for the pups, man. Fuck everybody else, man.
I was.
For the Chihuahuas.
Wow. For the old gay white dog and Ditto.
I started Ditto. I gave Ditto her own Instagram.
And the
really?
Yeah.
Ditto has plug the IG real quick.
Ditto Deuce on Instagram. That's her Instagram. Ditto Deuce.
Darch is learning this shit about you too.
Clout going up, dude.
Oh, yeah. My dog has an Instagram.
Danny, I looked at this before, but you are so, like, your knowledge of music runs deep. It's not a mile wide, inch deep. You're not a spaghetti farm. It is fucking deep in every genre. If we went through your Spotify right now, though, what would be the most embarrassing shit that we'd find in your played recently?
Is that ABBA? That Give Me More song?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that a lot. I listen to that
classic.
A lot.
Classic.
You love Swedish disco?
I've been listening to Certified Trapper.
Okay.
That's an artist?
Yeah, he's a rapper from Milwaukee.
Okay.
Y'all know about the Kia Boys and all that shit?
No. Tell us.
Well, not familiar with the Milwaukee
they
rap
scene. Kias? That's their whole thing?
No, Kias, you can actually steal a Kia with a USB stick.
Oh, wait. Yeah. And
with the actual
and Hyundai's
phone
too.
Charger. So yeah, Kias and Hyundai's.
Yeah.
So, but he's the rapper that the sound of this
Got it.
Shit.
Of the
so.
Kia the Kia Boys movement.
And it's bizarre.
What is it like?
I
is
love it,
it like hard? Like,
I feel like he stole a Kia. And it had a laptop in it, and it had Fruity Loops on there.
And he just like...
Stock version sounds. He won't buy any presets. He won't buy no new VSTs. He's been using the same four sounds for the entire year, and he kind of figures out how to still make a new beat with the same four sounds. And it's amazing.
Are you constantly discovering like new rappers? Are you like still
curious about it? Not as much as I used to. Right. Not as much as I used to. That would be my whole thing.
Like being an A&R?
That would be my whole thing. Yeah. I always want to find the newest, hottest shit just to kind of like stun on people. Like, you heard this. Okay, you heard it. I would be that guy. It's probably annoying too to be around.
That's you on your hipster shit.
Yeah, being that's
it's all ego.
Because it's annoying to me when someone's like that. When they're around you, they always just kind of put you up on something. Like, have you heard this?
Right.
What about this? You seen this?
You fucking with the Kia Boys?
It's like, what are you talking? Leave me alone. Let's just be normal.
Let me listen to ABBA, dude.
Yeah, you fuck with the Ford Fiends? Are there any features on the new album that we can maybe reveal right now?
What do you want to say? What can you say?
What are we doing?
It's just Mike, ain't it? Yeah, just Mike.
Okay. Just Mike?
Yeah. Yeah,
just
Mike.
One feature?
Michael Jackson?
No, Mike. The rapper, Mike. From New York. He's one of my favorite rappers.
Mike?
Yeah.
You know Mike?
No, I don't know
is
Mike.
Is he a drill guy? Who is he?
What is his
name? Oh, no. Mike, is he like from the... they actually have a...
Maybe we're showing our ass right now.
They actually having a name Probably. For the genre. What do they call that type of style of music? I mean, it's all the Earl Sweatshirt guys, man.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, but Mike is amazing.
But no other Bruiser Brigade homies?
So oh, Wolf. I got Wolf on some shit. Okay. Zaloopers did some shit.
Hell yeah.
You know, but for the most part, nah. It's too personal.
Right. Yeah.
So there's a lot of songs.
This is really close to your
heart. Yeah, a lot of songs didn't really make sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the whole concept of the album is that it's just really about me being older and still being in music. I'm like, can I still do this shit?
Did part of you not think you couldn't?
I don't know. So that's
we know you can't. Come on.
I mean, that's what the album is about.
Just like literally figuring it out.
Nigga, you 40 still doing this shit? When you gonna stop? A guy gonna make you quit?
would you say that, like, is there any part of you that's like, yo, this could be the last one or no?
It would be a good movie if it was.
Oh, really?
True.
I wrote it with that intent, but I know it's not going
to be. Do you ever want to get into, like...
Because I just made... me and JPEG Mafia's working on an album now, okay. So it's not my last album.
Do you ever want to get into movie making? Like cinema?
Like making movies?
Yeah.
That's... I will say, like working on like movie sets and stuff like that. I would.
Because you were in the... What was that movie?
White Boy Rick.
White Boy Rick. Mm-hmm. You were in that. Holy shit, I forgot. You were in YG.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great time shooting that too. I would like to be the guy in the chair.
Yeah.
Directing, you know, something like that.
It was calling the shots.
Just seeing it, watching it and putting it together. Cause it's not too far from like making albums and
right,
shit.
Right. Right. It's macro.
Seeing your vision coming to life, literally. You know? So yeah.
Yep.
But for me, I think I'm more of a, I'm more into writing. So I think the next thing for me would have to be books.
Really?
More so than cinema.
What do you want to write about?
Your memoirs?
Yeah. I don't know. I think I want to do obviously like an autobiography kind of thing. And it's only because I'm a huge fan of BoJack Horseman.
You'd be a depressed penguin, bro.
You'd be an animated penguin.
I used to have an inside joke with this girl. She's like, BoJack Brown. She always called me BoJack Brown. Like, and we would watch BoJack Horseman together. She's like, this is your life right here. This is who you are. BoJack.
Need some fan art of someone to like make you as an anthropomorphic horse or something.
And remember like the whole thing with BoJack, how he had the little girl follow him around all the time to write the book about him. So yeah, I need someone to come and.
Someone to just shadow you and like, you know.
You need a stenographer intern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Stenographer.
So I think, yeah. That's the next thing for me would be, yeah.
I want to ask you about the area of life that maybe wouldn't allow the stenographer to enter, which is the next section of this podcast entitled
Dead Ass.
Sucking and fucking.
Meats and cheeks.
Sex and dating.
Yeah. What is this about?
It's about dead ass.
Yeah.
We asked this of every musician specifically. Do you listen to your own music when you have sex?
Fuck no.
Really?
What do you put on?
That's crazy.
Is it?
Oh, if I was to like pick a soundtrack to fuck to, it got to be.
You don't want Juicy J being like, fuck a P.O.
No, it's
fuck
like
a piss test.
I listen to like Bjork or like. Ooh.
You fucked up Bjork?
Yeah.
Stroke game all over the place.
No. Pagan poetry? I'm knocking it down during pagan poetry. What is y'all talking about? Yeah, like Bjork or like FKA.
Penis poetry.
I mean, to be on some newest shit, maybe like FKA Twigs or something that, you know?
The Weeknd.
Okay, sure, a classic for sure.
House of Balloons, a nigga definitely done got a lot of pussy to House of Balloons.
Yeah. What's your body count?
The millions. Gotta be in the millions.
Millions.
It gotta be in the millions. Bro, we talk about it, bro.
You know the 41 years that's been on the show that says he exclusively fucks to his own music? Big Boy from Outkast.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Is it?
So you know
I like the way you move.
I mean
you know what he, so you know
like, I don't know if I could get jiggy with that shit.
You do the whip test, right? You listen to your shit in the car, you do like headphone test, he does the fuck test too.
Oh, that's tight, though.
He sees if his shit fucking hits in the bedroom.
See, the thing is, I love music too much. And
to sully it with
so, like, listening to music, I would just be zoning out. Like, damn, how many, what's this BPM? How many? I started getting scientific about listening to the music.
So you'd be
like,
out of your own head.
Yeah, I'm not thinking about sex no more. I'm involved in the actual act, but I'm sitting here thinking about, damn, how the fuck they
you want to stay
song?
In the moment.
Yeah.
Damn. Also, it sounds like you're, as a loud sex haver, you're providing the soundtrack yourself.
Yeah. No, to
he's
be
yodeling, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a soundtrack. I'd rather have the sound of other people moaning.
Okay. There you go.
Teach his own. Different strokes, literally, for different folks.
Yeah. When did you know that you were in love with your girlfriend?
Oh, that's a great word.
Thanks.
I think the first time I met her.
Really? Love at first sight.
What was the first thing?
She's listening right now to catch you to trip you up, dude.
It was love at first sight, man.
What was your first date?
We went to a festival I played, I think, in Texas.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So she watched you perform to thousands of people.
Was she a fan before y'all like hooked up?
Nah.
She like wasn't even familiar. Mm-mm. See, that's...
No.
That's
how you want it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What about...
I do love my girl, though, so she knows.
As the father of a daughter, you know, and she's... 20 now, right?
21.
Yeah, crazy. She's 21?
Yeah, she tried to get me to take her to 6th Street. I'm like, I'm not going to 6th Street with you, bro.
On her 21st birthday? We're not doing that.
No, she's already 21. She just... Okay. She
want to party with Pop.
She just came to Austin for like the summer. She stayed with me for like June and July.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, she's woke now.
Oh, shit.
Did she cramp your style low-key when she stayed with you?
No, it's actually a great time. I was actually happy to have her there.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, she's old enough to know, but...
Does she think you're problematic when you say things like gay and retarded?
Oh, she hates me, bro. Yeah. She says I'm the most embarrassing motherfucker to be really? Around
But that's
ever.
How every daughter treats their father.
Everything about my music, everything about my style, really? Everything. She's like,
she's
oh
not a fan.
God.
She doesn't fuck with the discography.
I hate you.
Is she like a little white? Is she like a little Y2K girly?
No, she's super like black powered out right now.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Like, I think TikTok did it though. Oh,
yeah. She got TikTok pilled into.
Yeah, she got TikTok pilled.
The algo, dude.
Yeah, I'm barbecuing ribs on the 4th of July. She gonna tell me I'm more of a Juneteenth kind of girl.
She still eat the ribs though.
She won't get like, she won't put use hair products and shit. She got an afro natural? Now. Yeah.
Damn, bro.
She, yeah.
This is a nice little generational kind of.
I mean, it is dope. I'm like, what the fuck happened? You listening to Dead Prez albums or something?
Ooh.
Like, how did this happen? You was just listening.
Hip hop.
Yeah.
Hip hop.
She was super into anime and K-pop in her high school. So it's like, what the fuck just happened?
She got fucking the third eye woken up, you know?
Yeah. She saw enough infographics on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she hate white people.
What, I mean.
Who doesn't? Am
yeah,
I right,
come on,
bro?
Come on. So she's on the right side of history. What red flags do you really look out for when it comes to your daughter dating?
Ooh. See, that's the thing I'm never really
you never involved
you don't
in that
be
part
involved
of
yeah, my design you're never, like it's not my business or
yeah it's like your mom gotta handle that kind of thing. I ain't got nothing to do with that
why because you go Muay Thai on somebody's ass.
I mean it's
on
just
some poor bastard.
I mean I don't know. I just part two I feel like she got a great like sense of like her friend group.
She's got a good head on her shoulders.
She hang around like
trust
you know
her. It's like you
yeah
don't
yeah, so
except I was going to
be detrimental to the process. You're like, I'm going to fuck this up.
Yeah, cool. Kind of like let her figure it out. And it's not, like I said, she's 21 now.
But you never been like dad where it's like, you know, some dude comes over and you got to fucking like see how hard his handshake is or anything?
No, I mean, the coolest. I only met one guy that she was like, she went to prime with like a little Asian kid.
Was he a Muay Thai motherfucker?
No, this nigga was a nerd for sure.
You're like, but, approve.
I love him.
I'm like, it's tight.
I'm like, it's tight. This type of niggas you like? Hell yeah. Yeah. Like,
that's
fuck.
It. That's your K-pop era.
Yeah,
for sure.
But that was. Nah, yeah. I don't know what type of nigga about to pull up. So
that's like a revolutionary.
Bro, she could pull up with Dr. Umar. It's going to be a challenge. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, yo, boil this onion.
Bro.
Danny, how much money do you make?
None. What are you talking about? I need to borrow some money from y'all niggas.
Are the checks bigger in podcasting or in like indie underground hip hop?
I would say, I mean, it's probably similar, but I would say it's just less work with podcasting.
Yeah.
It's too much.
What's the process like? Do you just show up and fucking monologue?
Just show up.
No prep. Just go fucking off the dome.
I mean, like you say, I got the podcast brain now, so I'm writing shit all week for the show.
Right. You're like taking notes and shit.
I'm always constantly like, thinking, oh, I got to talk about this on the podcast. Got to talk about this on the podcast. You know? So it's always that. So, I mean, like you say, we working on it pretty much all week before we can do it. You know, but it's when I show up, it's pretty much me just riffing.
You do be riffing. So we mentioned that the top three money pits are drugs, clothes, women. But what do you like to spend your hard-earned money on outside of those three arenas?
Family.
Yeah?
Just taking care of my family, man. I think that was like one thing that I always feel bad about because, you know, me being on TV or they see me in magazines and shit, and they will always think I had more money than I actually have.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they would look at
That's the optics of being a superhero rapper.
Perception is reality for motherfuckers.
Yeah. So they like, they're looking at me like I'm rich and it's like, I'm not really rich. I'm doing good for myself, but I'm not a fucking gazillionaire.
Building the Danny Brown brand.
So, and then, you know, everybody want to get taken care of and they ask you for stuff.
Is that ever like tough for you where it's like motherfuckers that you love and you care about, like feel like low key, maybe let down.
Ruined a lot of relationships.
Really?
Because when you can't do it for them, and then it's
they blame you.
Yeah, and then it's one of those things where if you do it for
Danny Greedy,
it's going to kind of come back again. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, So you got to kind of like cut it off at the head, kind of, you know?
Now that you're planting a flag in the comedy podcasting content world, are motherfuckers coming out of the woods once again? Yo, what's up? I see the streams. I see the numbers on YouTube.
Yeah.
Numbers don't lie.
I mean, now I'm just kind of like, I don't live in Detroit no more. No one has my phone number. Like, it has to be like a big deal, like something. And that's really how I feel with it, you know? Like, because I would feel like I'm being taken advantage of in some sense.
Right.
Like, somebody will hit you up and there's like a big problem, like, oh, I'm about to get evicted or something like that. And then
they manipulate you emotionally.
And then you give them the money. Next thing you know, you see them. They're on a vacation in Hawaii or somewhere. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck were you talking about?
They got some chrome jeans on.
Yeah. Now you look up and it's like, oh my God, dude. So, and that's what it was a lot of time.
Are there any people now that are like, to do the thing? And this happens to us very sparingly. So I'm not saying it's the same with us and you, but like, are people like, yo, I saw the pot. It's popping. Like, I would love to come on. Like, people trying to like manipulate you in that way to get the platform.
No, I want people to come on the show. I would love to have a lot of people on the show.
That's what I'm
struggling with is having guests. Come on. Austin, what are you talking about?
I was like, yo, if we could have Danny on, we will fly to Austin to record with you.
Yeah, please. We would have gone.
Done deal.
All right.
I put y'all up in everything. Hang out the crib with me.
We're not that popping. We're like niche.
It doesn't matter, man.
Like, I need a week's worth of content.
What are you talking about?
F1 Grand Prix is coming up.
Oh, Austin. Yeah. That is a big deal in Austin.
Yeah.
You can't get a hotel room during that time.
No, well, we were trying to go.
You got to get Lewis Hamilton on the podcast.
Bro, that's too much. That's too much going on.
Who's your dream guest that you'd love to have on the pod? Besides BoJack Horseman, the animated sad horse.
Besides Will Arnett.
You should have Rocky on, bro.
That'd be incredible.
Little reunion.
I don't think he's friends with me anymore.
Damn.
That's like what? That just like time went by. It happens.
He's got the Fenty.
Bro. No, he's the homie. Rocky's still the homie. I'm just talking shit. I know.
He's a good guy. Dart saying that Rocky mentioned Danny on his Drink Champs appearance.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I remember that clip. Yeah.
You say real, recognize real.
You're saying like you're the funniest dude he knows?
Yes, there it is. Most unique motherfucker he knows, Danny Brown.
Yeah. Yep.
Have him on, bro.
Motherfucking
hybrid.
Oh, Patrice O'Neal.
Oh, well, RIP. I'm fucking...
Still got to get a person I can't actually get... But yeah, I would Patrice O'Neal, man.
The king, bro. The goat.
But do you want to have other comedians on? Like, is that the goal?
Of course, yeah. That's the goal. Yeah. That's
Rogan? Would you have a Rogan on?
I mean, I can't.
You should go on Rogan. You should do Rogan.
I mean, I think it's happening. I think it's about to start happening. He's been talking about me for the last few.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You getting name dropped?
Yeah, he's been.
You see him out?
I've been getting the Rogan effect.
You see him out in Austin?
I see him all the time. One time I hung out with Rogan, blackout drunk for 2 hours, and I don't remember the entire conversation.
Well, he's not sober. I know he smokes, but does he drink?
No, he drinks. He drinks.
He drinks. Okay.
But yeah, one time
he drinks like a fine scotch, I'm sure.
We were hanging out in the club together, like a comedy club or whatever, and I literally just talked to him for like 2 hours and don't even remember what the fuck I said to him. I just woke up the next day and my girl told me, like, you know, you was talking to Rogan for like 2 hours. I'm like, what?
Does Rogan know like the music? Or does he only know you because of like Tom and...
No, they didn't at first, but they all been starting to check it out since they know me now. Ooh. And they all will come to me and be like, oh my God, you're so fucking talented.
White people do love you, by the way. In terms of like rap, like think about like when you were at like your Pitchfork peak of love, like was that ever weird to you? So this is a Pusha T thing that he says a lot where it's like, he's like, listen, I understand that like at least his crowd, he's like, yo, I do a show. It's a lot of white people. It is what it is, but they support me. So he doesn't like begrudge that. Have you like, what do you think about that? Like having that white fan base? Like, is it weird or is it like I accept it and I appreciate it?
I mean, I feel like if I tried to make music for a certain crowd of people, that wouldn't be true to myself.
Right.
Right.
So like me being like, ain't no niggas at my shows. Now I'm going to try to make a song with Glorilla now. You get what I'm saying? Like, I don't think like that, you know? Right, so right. I just make the music that I make and whoever likes it. And I can't really judge that. I can't really be like that because... I used to sell crack to Korn. You know what I'm saying? I tell people this all the time. I'm
to
like
Korn the band with the yes. K and the backwards R?
Yes.
Jonathan Davis?
Yes.
Ooh.
Oh, you didn't sell crack to the band members of Korn.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying it.
Yo, that's correct.
Oh, that's okay. It. Okay. Okay. I used to sell crack to Korn. Sounded crazy. You're right. My bad.
You're listening to Korn while selling crack. Okay.
That's how Jonathan Davis was yodeling, bro.
No, you sold crack to Fred Durst.
And all my homies was listening to No Limit and Cash Money at the time.
Right.
And
right.
I'm sitting there. So I've lived a different
type
of life.
Your soundtrack to selling crack was Korn, Freak on a Leash.
System of a Down, all that shit. Incubus.
Yeah.
Damn, System of a Down?
Incubus.
Wake up.
bring up
the best of Incubus is like fucking
satellite
morning drive.
Well, yeah,
wherever you want, I'll
the most peaceful
there.
Crack dealer yeah. in Detroit.
But open arms and open
this
eyes.
This is very much the, the
every Sunday, every Sunday I would put that album on.
The era
right
white-
in my fucking bro sitting on a crate on some wire shit with the fucking tape and a Walkman like. Ugh. Sitting on a crate on a stool. Wherever you are.
Did this help your crack dealing career?
No, I was never good at it. I was never good at it.
Where were your biggest like gaps in your crack expertise?
What do you mean biggest gaps?
Like were you not a good salesman? Do you not have
good
product?
Oh, because I just was a sex addict and shit. You know, you offer a blowjob.
I had an appointment with Danny
I was giving away too much free crack.
For the blowjob Betty.
Yeah, for the blowjob.
Okay. All right.
Damn. I was selling crack for blowjobs.
So, but, I mean, your body count was going up. Your blowjob body count.
So crack whore was your greatest customer.
They loved me.
Crack sex worker.
They loved me.
Yeah.
They loved me. But yeah, I wasn't good at it. And just with everything that comes with living that lifestyle, once you get really deep into that shit, you actually become a crackhead yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not showering. You're staying in this one place for 3-4 days.
Favorite drug of choice of all time. With imagine there's no consequences associated with anything. What is your favorite drug?
I mean, I'm going to say weed.
Yeah.
Because weed is what it is, okay. You know? But I mean... Yeah, weed.
Yeah, we'll okay.
Yeah.
I saw that jaw move a little bit. Okay, weed.
Danny, what's the brokest you've ever been?
Ooh. Oh, shit.
Outside of like being financially dependent on like your family, like when you were an independent adult, what's the brokest?
No, you've ever been? I've been, God, I think I didn't really make it till in my 30s of music and stuff like that. So it was a time in my life where like living with my mom or like my 20s. And I could just see the look of disgust in her face every morning waking up.
Oof.
Me asking for cigarettes and shit like that. She's like, you need to get a job. I'm like, man, I'm going to make it as a rapper one day.
I'm too busy getting blowjobs.
I got my fucking, no, this one I had stopped selling drugs. Because okay. I had a shit ton of warrants.
Okay.
Like I would get like a whole bunch of like loitering tickets from like hanging out in front of stores and shit. Yeah. But I would never go to court on them. Mm. So anytime I came in any type of police contact, I'm going to jail.
Right.
So I always had this hanging over my head. So I stopped selling drugs and I moved back in with my mom and shit and just, I bought a four track and an SP-303. Started like trying to like looping beats and like just started making music and doing that kind of stuff. And she was just so like, oh my God, you're terrible. Like,
you suck, dude.
Like, bro. Like,
so see that.
Don't quit your day job, Danny.
Seen that disappointment in your mother. Well, you did quit your
day. It hurt so much.
That like, was the brokest you've ever been when your mom was hurt disappointed. So
much. Broken emotionally and financially.
Because the thing was like, I had all these warrants and shit.
Right.
So I couldn't like go out and get a job.
How'd you get out of them? Was it statute of limitations?
No, I actually just had to go to jail. Mm. I had to go to jail.
How long were you in jail for?
Yeah, it was the longest.
I did a year.
Damn. Bro.
Is that how you and Ditto kind of bonded? Like, just, you know, you both.
No. This is
graduates of the incarceration system.
She smells the incarceration.
I think I was locked up for 2007, the entire 2007. I think.
That was a good year. No, it wasn't. That was last year, Bush. Last year, Bush.
Yeah,
you came out for Obama.
It's a Bush.
It was 2007, yeah. So, but yeah. But no, I think it was the best thing that ever happened to me, though.
Oh, really?
Right? Mm-hmm. Before I went to jail, I was like a. I wasn't this guy for sure. I was like more like, I don't know, like shy.
Oh,
like
really?
I wouldn't talk. I wouldn't.
You really blossomed. Jail open. Really blossomed in prison.
I had to.
Yeah.
If you ain't talking in there, niggas gonna punk you. Like shit gonna happen. You gotta speak up for yourself. I gotta be vocal about shit.
What was like your main like survival skill? Was it just like being the funny guy?
No, actually rap music.
Yeah.
Because
you were spitting for like dudes inside?
That's what it'd be. I wouldn't tell you. It'd be like that. But what happened was on my rock, everybody has, you know, that's what they call it. What your dorm, wherever you station. They wanted to rap so much. Like my rock boss, the biggest, strongest motherfucker on the boss, they would fucking sit in their fucking dorm and fucking freestyle rap like all day.
Were they trash? And I would, were they good?
Super trash.
Really?
So it was just fucking, I'd be sitting there watching fucking, I'd be watching TV hearing these niggas rapping in there. I'm like, man, these niggas. And they would get, and it got to the point, I held it in for like 3 months.
Right.
And then one day I was like, you know what? Fuck y'all. Yeah. And I went in there and just gave them the 50 clip. Like, Cassidy punchlines. I mean, that bitch like a smack DVD. Like, and after that, they like, oh my God, we got
he's
the guy,
nice.
This nigga.
The rap guy.
So then everybody just super embraced me like that. Like, even he was like, man, when I, because the best job to have in jail is registry.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, when I get out, when I leave registry, I'm going to give you my job. Boom, boom, we got to hook up when you get in the world, Snoop. They called me Snoop back then when I was in jail.
Because you were like tall and skinny?
Yeah, and I had long French braids and shit. So
and you rapped like him too.
No, I did.
Or just meaning like you were nice.
I'm trying to think back then. Oh, that was like my J Dilla, Guilty Simpson, open mic Detroit phase.
It was different. Like,
so I was rapping
different
like
voice too and everything. Or?
Yeah, I was. It wasn't that high pitch shit for sure. I was trying.
What
to, like,
made you go with the? Because I feel like you have such a distinctive, incredible, iconic rap voice. What, like, how did that even happen?
The high pitch shit started with the first time I heard Eminem.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yes. The first time I heard My Name Is, you know, just that shit. I'm like, oh, this is going to be the style of Detroit rap.
Like
so I just started studying
like
him. Like no, I'm just saying the actual style of how it sounded. Because you got to think every coast, like East Coast rap, West Coast rap, down South rap. I'm like, so when M came out and he was blowing up from Detroit, I'm like, oh, this is going to be the sound.
Right.
This is what people are going to be expecting Detroit rappers to sound like. So I just wanted to study his shit, and I started rapping like that, just trying to impersonate him, to be honest. I mean, obviously it turned to something else.
Your own,
you know?
Wholly your own,
Did going to prison give you like the actual confidence that you could be a good, like a successful rapper?
I mean, my rap shit was already going, kind of, before I went to jail.
Okay.
Because what happened was, I used to come out here. I used to literally take fucking Greyhounds. This is before like cell phones and shit. I'd be at Port Authority on a fucking payphone. Calling my homie, I had to go to fucking, but he was an A&R at Rockefeller. And what it was that I would come out here for like maybe like a weekend or something, but I would record an entire mixtape on other rappers' time.
Right.
Like Cameron would have a session booked at Sony Studios.
He'd show up 2 hours late.
And he wouldn't show up. And then we'd sneak in, knock out a few songs, order some fried
wings. Put on Cameron's bill.
Put everything on it. And then when it
comes. Greyhound back to Detroit.
And I was making mixtapes like that before I went to jail.
Or Freaky Zeke.
So I already knew. And I would be around them, and they always be like, this nigga nice. But I was like a dirty bum to them niggas. I'm like a nigga from Detroit.
He smelled like
the
bus.
My fucking braids,
this
nappy
the
braids.
Greyhound here.
Yes. Like I was, so you got to
like
think, I was like a bum ass nigga to them. So they never.
But they knew that you had the fucking, this talent was there.
They
knew
I was an ill nigga. Yeah, I've been around everybody. I remember like sitting around Dame Dash listening to my whole shit. Like,
really? What was his feedback? What do you think?
I think it was when the whole shit was going down, when it was about to split.
Yeah.
And he listened to my whole shit, and all these niggas said, good luck, get money.
That's great advice.
And you did.
Yes. That's the crazy shit about
the title,
the story.
Dude. Good luck, get money.
Yeah. That nigga should tell me good luck, get
He's
money.
Like, I got some other things on my mind.
Yo, that's ill advice from Dame, dude.
Well, listen.
He wasn't right. I mean, he wasn't wrong.
Yeah, no. That works.
Because I think at that time, he was like, man, it's nothing I can really do. I can't really help you.
I'm a little
like,
busy right now.
Yes. Like, I got a lot of shit going on. Man. Yeah. Good luck. Get money, man.
Were you rapping under the name Danny Brown?
Yeah. Always been Danny Brown.
Well, Danny, I don't know if we can offer up enough advice as good as Dame Dash did, but we would love to offer up some constructive criticism as like grizzled podcast veterans where you're like obviously killing it, relatively new to the game, though. We've been doing this, edit this for like in one form or another for 6 years now. So we'd love to offer up some constructive criticism, take it or leave it before you get out of here and you get on with the night. I'll go first. So you heard my bars in the intro.
Mm-hmm.
Can you be my fucking rock boss and maybe give me a feature on the album or something? Like, I need to get out of here. I need to stop podcasting with this motherfucker. I need an exit strategy. Put me on the new album.
I don't think that's going to be the out. I don't think that's going to help anything. I don't think that's the out right there. That's
you don't think D-Boy, think D-Boy Pinoy is my future?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, okay.
No.
I think I have my answer.
Yeah, no, that's not going to help. It's not going to help.
Danny, I feel like I'm going to regret asking this, but when your boy Heems was on the show.
Himanshu.
Yes. He was kind enough to close things out with a little Throwing Fits themed freestyle. No pressure, but would you want to take a stab at
Fuck
one?
Fuck no, y'all tripping.
Oh, Danny, can I get a 16? I had to ask, bro. I knew the answer. I still had to ask, bro.
I'm 40 years old. It's hard, man. It's hard.
Can't afford
man.
Him.
Yeah, we'll play some songs.
Wait, so when like the dudes in prison were rapping, we're like, my name is Rock, and I came to say I'm the best damn rapper in the USA.
No,
like,
that's
that type
way,
of shit.
That's the way I rapped in like fucking kindergarten.
No, not you. I mean the other dudes in prison. Yeah.
No, it's almost, I feel like Master P or something. Like, coming from the city where nobody hate me. They're going lately.
I'll be like, what? These niggas in there tripping.
Like, they were like putting out full like Tupac plays or something, man. Like, what the fuck is y'all doing
some,
in there, man?
Some slam poetry.
Yes, it was. D-block, yes, bro. It was like that. Because they were older, too.
Yeah.
But that's what I told y'all. At the time, before I got locked up, I was going to like open mics. That was my thing. I was like the Detroit open mic guy. Like, so I
like
just
the
had
king.
Freestyles on deck. Like I'm writing raps just to go to
acapella or over a beat.
It don't matter.
Right.
I got something for it.
Danny, where can the kids follow you on social media? What do you want to plug? Talk about the podcast real quick.
Okay, everybody, you know, can find where you can find all podcasts. Wiremade Studios, The Danny Brown Show. Also, all my social medias is X Danny X Brown X. Follow me.
Is it better financially if people stream on YouTube or on like Spotify, Apple?
Yeah. I think you get the full picture when you watch it.
Yeah, for sure. With the green screen in the background.
It feels like it's a YouTube pod versus this is where an audio.
We're listening more.
But I was listening on Spotify too, and it definitely does still hit there.
So to be clear. Shouts out.
Danny, thank you for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me. Sucker fun.
Appreciate you, man.
Jeff, take us out.